happens is that Nigel Farage can approximate talking like a human being, where you just resort to talking points and dodging questions.
And you did hear LBC's Eggy Chambray. More on that. In other news, Bobby Jenrick comes over all Charles Bronson on the London Underground.
You think it's all right not to pay? Seriously, why do you go back to the Barry and pay? Do you want to go back and pay like everybody else? Do you think it's all right not to pay? Why don't you go back and pay?
Always handy to have an orchestra with you when you're doing that. Charges, of course, in the Liverpool parade. An ex-Royal Marine will give you the full details on that. And how patients and pupils could benefit from more than £1 billion in repairs to crumbling schools and hospitals. Those stories and more follow the 7 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, a man is due to appear in court accused of driving a car into a crowd at Liverpool's Premier League victory parade. Paul Doyle has been charged with multiple offences, including causing grievous bodily harm with intent. 79 people were injured on Monday. LBC's correspondent Chris Chambers has more details from Liverpool.
In terms of what we can say about Paul Doyle, legal proceedings are now active. So we can say he's 53. We can say he's from Berghill Road in West Derby and that he's been remanded in custody to appear before Liverpool Magistrates Court this morning. We also had it confirmed by police yesterday that 79 people suffered injuries. 50 of those went to hospital and 7 remain there in a stable condition.
An LBC investigation has found children as young as 14 could be selling knives to others on apps like Snapchat. Police say young people are using social media platforms to bypass legislation that prevents retailers from selling to children. Snapchat is yet to respond. DCI James Tipple is part of the Metropolitan Police's Specialist Knife Crime Unit.
We've been investigating social media accounts that sell knives. By doing that, they can bypass all the security legislation that prevents them from selling to children. So we look at identifying those people who sell prohibited and dangerous weapons.
You can watch LBC's full special investigation, The Knife Crime Generation, on the LBC app. The latest proposal from the White House for a new ceasefire deal in Gaza is expected to be rejected by Hamas. The US says Israel has accepted the plan, including the release of more hostages and a 60-day truce. Hundreds of schools and hospitals in England are to receive funding to address maintenance issues. Ministers have set out how they will spend £1.2 billion confirmed in last year's budget. The money will be used to fix leaking pipes, poor ventilation, electrical issues and crumbling roofs. President Trump has been told he can continue to collect trade tariffs under emergency powers for now. Judges have agreed to pause a block on the import taxes ahead of a full appeal. Jack Draper is through to the third round of the French Open tennis. He beat Gael Monfils in a four-set thriller at Roland Garros last night. Draper joins fellow Brits Cameron Norrie and Jacob Fernley, who'll face each other next. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen this morning at 87.16 after closing down 9 yesterday. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.18. LBC weather, cloudy with rain for many this morning, then turning drier and brighter later. A high of 25 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watts.
Barclays Ready Made Investments. The clue's in the name. Not Barclays Where Do I Begin Investments. You can start from £50. That's why they're not difficult to get started investments either. And you can choose your risk level. So they're hardly in at the deep end investments. So if you've got savings and you want to help grow your money over 5 years or more, then search Barclays Ready Made Investments. Make money work for you. Investing is not for everyone. The value of investments can fall as well as rise, and you may get back less than you invest. T's and C's apply.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. 3 minutes after 7 on Friday, the 30th of May. The numbers simply don't add up. Sir Keir Starmer's assertion over Nigel Farage. We'll look at that, but the Prime Minister had a testy time from journalists yesterday. We'll give you all the details from a Prime Minister to a President. And it would appear the on-off, on-off again. The whiplash continues. Trump's tariffs are back on. White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt.
America cannot function if President Trump, or any other president for that matter, has their sensitive diplomatic or trade negotiations railroaded by activist judges.
Charges after the Liverpool horror.
53-year-old Paul Doyle is charged with 7 offences after allegedly driving his car through a crowd of people in Liverpool. I'm LBC's Liam Cotting with the latest.
Prominent Conservative Robert Bobby Jenrick plays tough guy on the London Underground. Have you ever confronted a fare dodger? Would you want to confront a fare dodger? This is TFL staff are advised not to, so you have to ask in many instances, what sort of measures or sanctions are there? And staying with Londoner stories...
Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner that I love London so.
But a report shows multicultural Londoners feel little love for England. Data shows residents here are more likely to have an affinity towards England than they would towards their city. We'll have a report and, of course, ask for your reactions.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
It's been an odd week for Reform UK leader Nigel Farage because he came back and without really feeling any need or being forced to, he decided to hold a press conference in which he laid out many of his plans. Unfortunately, as we said at the time, the numbers clearly didn't add up. Anywhere between 50 or 80 billion pounds worth of unfunded tax breaks and other measures. That's a lot of money. So was he found out? Well, the Labour Party probably think he was, although it wasn't a particularly good week either for Sir Keir Starmer with some of the questioning. LBC's political editor, Natasha Clark, is in the studio with all the details. Morning, Natasha.
Morning, Nick. Yes, Keir Starmer yesterday tried to set up the fight for the next election. We're still 4 years out from that, but he wants this to be a battle between himself, the Labour Party and Reform. So while he didn't have much to announce yesterday, he held a major press conference, like you say, to just attack one person.
In relation to Nigel Farage.
No, I didn't count them, Nick, but there was a lot of mentions of Nigel Farage.
I think I gave up at 9. Yeah, go on.
And Nigel Farage tweeted last night, "Why are you so obsessed with me?" So Keir Starmer's main argument was accusing the Reform boss of Liz Truss-style fantasy economics and sums that just don't add up. He told an audience in the North West yesterday that his promises to raise the tax-free allowance, to scrap the two-child benefit cap and reverse the winter fuel changes would cost billions of pounds and that Mr Farage has not said how he'll pay for it.
Now in government, we're once again fighting the same fantasy, this time from Farage. The same bet, in the same casino, that you can spend tens of billions of pounds on tax cuts without a proper way of paying for it. Using your family finances, your mortgages, your bills as the gambling chip on his mad experiment. And I can see that in keeping with my point, apparently he's in Las Vegas today at a casino.
And earlier this week, Nick, you said Nigel Farage tried to paint himself as the only true champion of the working class in his own speech.
Reform really are now the party of working people.
People with alarms that go off at 5 o'clock in the morning. They go off to work. They work damned hard. Whether they're working for companies, whether they're trade union members, whether they run their own businesses or act as sole traders. They're the people that are voting for us.
So, Nick, we could be 4 years out from an election and we've got these two major camps already trying to set their stalls out and they already see each other as the main opposition. Where are the Tories? No one knows. Look, I go to a lot of these press conferences, Nick, and they're always a rough ride for any politician. But yesterday, Sir Keir Starmer faced an absolute barrage of questions, including from our own Aggie Chambray.
Are you not worried people will ask why you're holding a press conference about Nigel Farage 4 years out from a general election instead of focusing on your plans for the country?
Do you think one of the problems is that Nigel Farage can approximate talking like a human being where you just resort to talking points and dodging questions?
The speed of the decline in your popularity is historically unprecedented. Isn't this speech today an admission that you have failed and Nigel Farage understands voters better than you?
Why has a public school educated former city trader got more in common with the red wall than you have?
UK say you're running scared of them, that you're sounding increasingly like them with some of the policies and announcements you've made recently. This is a speech that was very defensive, wasn't it?
You went into the election promising to freeze national insurance and keep the two-child benefit cap. You since raised national insurance on businesses and now you're considering axing the cap. Isn't attacking Nigel Farage's economic credibility a bit rich?
Journalist Noah Hoffman from The Sun, concluding LBC's political editor Natasha Clark's report. Well, let's pick up on a point that Natasha made and talk about the Conservatives and bring into the conversation the former Conservative Party chairman, Tory MP and Shadow Paymaster General Richard Holden. Mr. Holden, the party's gone from 14 years in power to now being in fourth place and hardly mentioned at the Prime Minister's conference. How have you managed that? That's quite an achievement.
Well, I think what the Prime Minister's clearly seeing is that from those announcements recently from Nigel Farage that is really clearly targeting what we've been very traditional Labour voters with those sort of benefit and massive increases in benefits policies. I mean, the two-child benefit cap, I don't know if people really know what it means. It's not about the child benefit that you get on having individual children. What it's about is if you're on universal credit, it basically means that you can have all of that support, and it's wraparound support. So it's everything from housing benefit all the way through. It's a huge amount. And there are exemptions for it. For example, if you have a multiple birth or if you're...
You're not answering the question, Mr. Holden. No, can I ask you to answer? I've been polite. I've been polite. Enough now. Your party has been around for nearly 200 years. You've been in power for 14 years. Reform, by comparison, has been around for about half an hour. They are referred to constantly now by the Prime Minister. They are clearly the opposition.
They're the opposition.
So why have you, not you, Percy, why has the party failed? I wonder if we could address that, Mr. Holden.
At the moment, it's quite clear that Reform and Labour are chasing the same voters. That's why the Prime Minister's talking about them.
They're getting voters.
Well, they've decided to park their, Nigel Farage has decided to go after the benefits stuff with a massive unfunded spending commitments. Mm-hmm. And they're clearly now fighting after the same voters. It's quite clear that neither of them have any credibility on these issues. We saw the Prime Minister coming in saying he wouldn't raise taxes, saying before the election.
Is it embarrassing to have failed so badly for the Conservatives?
Well, I mean, I don't want to be in this position, but it's quite clear that we lost the trust of voters, and a lot of that was due to infighting over the last few years, and it's going to take a while, as Kemi has acknowledged, to turn that around.
We keep hearing a while. How long is a while, Mr. Holden?
Well, I think it's going to take years, if I'm totally honest, Nick, because, we lost the trust of voters. I don't think voters have really made up their minds about the next election yet. I can understand why Sir Keir Starmer's, worried that he's now being attacked on his left flank by Reform wanting more benefits.
He's got flanks.
Unfunded commitments.
You're not even Dad's army, you lot.
Well, I think that's a bit of a fact. We're still a very large party in local government. Still the official opposition with over 100 MPs. We're the ones out there making the case day in, day out. In fact, we're the only ones really holding the government to account.
Piffle. What's Nigel Farage? He's dictating policy at the moment from the casino.
Where is Nigel Farage on these issues? Where is he attacking Labour spending commitments? He's not there saying we should spend less money. We should get spending under control. He's saying, let's actually open the floodgates for more spending. He's desperate for these Labour voters up and down the country. Labour's support, we all know what's happened since the election, has collapsed incredibly quickly, right? What we managed to inflict on ourselves over 14 years, Sir Keir's managed to inflict along with in about 10 months.
Always enjoy speaking with you. Enjoy the weekend. The only way is Essex for you this weekend. Richard Holden is the Conservative MP for Basel and Billericay, Shadow Paymaster General. We'll let him retire and bring into the conversation at 12 minutes after 7. Paul Mason, who is a political journalist and broadcaster and writes for the New European. I'm not going to borrow the New European, though. I'm going to borrow Metro and their splash, their front page headline, "The End of the World is Nige," with a picture of Sir Keir Starmer and Nigel Farage. Paul, why is Nigel Farage dominating the political running? Good morning.
Well, good morning. There's an obvious reason that he's ahead in the polls, and they've come from nowhere. It's like, a few years ago, there were only two brands of trainer, and then, there's now four or five brands of trainer, and the Nike and Adidas of politics have got to get their act together and fight back. And I think that's what you saw Keir Starmer do yesterday. I think he gave it a good shot, actually. You played a lot of the journalists' questions. I mean, he was striding around with his sleeves rolled up in a workplace, and he battered them all away. Maybe not to the, you know, maybe he didn't give straight answers, and one of you, the questioners, was right. But I think what he's trying to do is to say, look, I get it that people are not satisfied with what we've done. In fact, you know, and I'm a Labour supporter, I would go further and I would say that they treaded water for 6 months, the first 6 months in office. They didn't really get their act together. They let the civil servants run the show. They did some great things. They're ahead on defence. They've got these three trade deals done, but they need to start delivering to the people who voted for them.
Let's look a little bit at Nigel Farage, Paul. As this week closes, I don't think he's had a great week, because he came out unnecessarily with uncosted packages that could be worth around 80 billion quid. Paul?
I think it could be 85, but look, a lot of people, if you're working for yourself, there's 5 million people, including me, self-employed, having a tough time, NI bills rising, etc., etc. You're not thinking about 85 billion, can they afford it? You're thinking at least somebody's promising something. Now, that's how populist politics works, and we did see with Liz Truss that it can crash the financial system. So I think, yes, he came out, and I think there is about 85 billion worth of commitments there, unfunded. The cost of money is five times what it was. So the government's cost of borrowing is five times what it was in 2021. So if you're going to throw around that amount of money, you've got to remember you're going to be paying 5% interest on it forever. So, and yes, one of his own backers, Tim Montgomery, the Conservative journalist, came out and said, look, these don't add up. So he's opened himself up, but as a small party, there's only four or five of them, aren't there, in Parliament, they don't get that level of scrutiny. And I think Keir Starmer's right to try and say, come on then, let's look at what they are saying. In the end, until Starmer makes good the pledge to smash the smuggling gangs and immigration starts falling, I don't think a lot of people who are currently thinking about vote reform will switch back.
I will leave it there, Paul. Thank you. Paul Mason, political journalist, broadcaster and writer for the New European. So, we heard from Nigel Farage, and we talked about this earlier in the week, ending the two-child cap on benefits, a new basic rate of tax threshold of £20,000. Get the calculator or the abacus out, and it's around 80, or as Paul Mason just said, more, £80 billion. So why is everyone getting in such a flap over Farage? It's economic illiteracy, isn't it? Also in this hour,
senior Conservative MP Robert Jenrick has been spending the half term catching fare dodgers, but why might he be in trouble with TfL? I'm LBC's Henry Riley with the story.
And also in this hour, talking taco. Why is President Trump now known as taco, the Mexican food? You don't know? You'll find out later in the hour. 7:16 LBC News headlines, Thomas Watts.
The man accused of driving a car into a crowd at Liverpool's Premier League trophy parade is due to appear in court this morning. The latest American proposal for a new ceasefire deal in Gaza will reportedly be rejected by Hamas. And ministers have set out how they'll allocate funding for school and hospital repairs in England. LBC weather, cloudy with rain for many, then brighter later. A high of 25 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne. We're very busy on the M25 anti-clockwise from junction 25 at the A10 to 24 at Porter's Bar. It's after a car broke down earlier, although that's now been recovered. On the M2 westbound, two lanes are closed at junction 2 at the A228. It's because of those emergency bridge works, which also means the exit slip road is closed. And then also on the M2 westbound, just by the Medway services, there's been an accident and that's very busy on the approach. No Woolwich Ferry running. It's still suspended because of an ongoing technical problem. And on the underground, the District Line can't run from West Ham to Whitechapel. And also the Hammersmith and City Line is suspended between Barking and Liverpool Street. And there are still severe delays on the Piccadilly Line.
This is LBC.
At Morrison's, for this week's fresh weekly specials, save a third on our British rump steak. Now £16 per kilo. So get out the pan, turn up the heat and whip up a storm in the kitchen. Go on, treat yourself and someone you really love to a delicious steak dinner. All without breaking the bank. Fresh from Market Street. Majority of stores online may vary. Subject to availability. Excludes Morrison's Deli. Was £24.50 per kilo. Ends 5th of June.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
Looking for a fun-filled day out this spring? The O2 has it all. Catch the latest blockbuster at Cineworld or challenge your friends with interactive football at Toker Social. Take on darts, mini golf and more at Boom Battle Bar. Get active with a game of paddle tennis, climb to new heights or take flight with an indoor skydive at iFly. Feeling hungry? Choose from over 30 bars and restaurants and discover flavours from around the world. Search Do More at the O2 to start planning your perfect day.
Ready, steady, the Toyotathon sale event is on!
Race down to your nearest Toyota centre and save up to an extra £1,000 on a new Toyota. But hurry, deals must end 31st of May. The Toyotathon sale event is on!
Offer valid on eligible new vehicle orders 1st to 31st of May and registered by 31st of July 2025. Retail customers only, T&Cs apply. See toyota.co.uk for details.
At Halfords, we want you to say yes to packing more into summer days with a great value roof box or bike rack. Say yes to freewheeling fun with bikes and gear for all the family. Say yes to a perfectly polished car with our range of car cleaning products. And say yes to easy breezy trips with a free aircon check. Our experts are on hand with checks, advice and fitting. So pop into your local store or shop online and say yes to summer at Halfords. Subject to availability, see halfords.com for full T's and C's.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
20 minutes after 7, who's the first? Ian, you'll be the first caller to talk about this. The sums clearly don't add up. I said the day after Nigel Farage's press conference, I thought it was about 50 billion quid that he was light. It's more like 80 billion quid. So why is everyone getting so rattled? I did reference that it was on the front page of one of the newspapers. Good headline for Metro. The end of the world is Nige. That's Sir Keir Starmer's assertion. Politics also for the front page of the Daily Mail. Kemi blasts race to the bottom on welfare handouts. I think that's what the former Conservative Party chairman Richard Holden wanted to get across, but I just couldn't. He just wasn't answering the question, so we had to move on with that one. And the front page of The Eye, PIP disability claimants in key Labour areas at greatest risk of welfare cuts. The other big story, which we can't say much about, and we will, of course, cover it, is charges at the Liverpool Trophy Parade horror earlier this week. An ex-Royal Marine, that's the front page of both The Sun and The Daily Mirror, and we'll bring you an update on that. Quickly to the LBC app. Well, they've got the big business story. Trump's Liberation Day tariffs temporarily restored. It is, as I often say, it's like whiplash over there in the States at the moment. It's on, it's off, it's on again. But why has Donald J. Trump earned the nickname Taco? And it unleashed a Mexican wave of anger from him. You don't know? Stay tuned, you'll find out. One story from another website, just completely at random. Let's go to the Sun newspaper, Sun Online, I should say, the Sun Online. And they have the new lineup for the rebrand tour, as they call it, so with Jeremy Clarkson and his pals being relieved of their duties as that TV show comes back, and the Sun has the details if that excites you. Right. So why are people getting so rattled about Nigel Farage? He has just a handful of MPs, and the numbers don't add up. Ian's in Cardiff. Ian, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick.
Why is it?
Who can say? The thing that I get from it, I don't agree with a lot of the policies that Reformer are spouting.
Mm-hmm.
But what alternatives do we have? We've just had 14 years of the Conservatives.
Yep.
That are arguing amongst themselves, which
yeah,
I really
they stunk the place out. Let's be honest, they absolutely stunk the place out.
You know, and then we get the Labour Party that promised everything in their manifesto, and you turn on everything. What are the alternatives? I think this is the reason a lot of people are turning to Reform, because they're offering something.
Are they offering something that you like? Could you ever see yourself voting Reform, Ian?
No.
Okay, that's really interesting. Might I ask why?
A lot of the policies, and I don't think the party's mature enough to take control of the country yet.
Right.
Maybe in a few years when...
Okay. What does a mature party look like? Because I think, by the way, I think you've put your finger on it. A lot of people would say, but they are really, really the new kids on the block. So what makes a party look more mature in your view, Ian?
Dare I say it, we need somebody at the helm that's strong with
right.
the rest of the world.
Okay.
And I'm from Yorkshire, you can probably tell with my accent.
I didn't think you were Welsh. I'm not going to lie. I had to tread carefully because the Welsh can be rather prickly at times, but I didn't think you sounded like you were from the valleys.
But one of the best leaders, and I would get stoned in Yorkshire for saying it, would be Margaret Thatcher. We wouldn't have any of this nonsense.
Right. You weren't a miner then, I sense.
No, but all my family was.
Really? Did they lose their jobs?
No.
Oh, they didn't?
Yeah.
Okay. So when you're with your family, lastly, if you go back... Whereabouts in Yorkshire? Might I ask which town or city you're from in Yorkshire?
I'm from Leeds. But,
you're from Leeds. Do you say that you're... When you're with them up in Yorkshire, do you say that you're a bit of a fan of what Thatcher did, or you just guard your counsel, keep your counsel, rather?
No, I speak openly about it. And believe it or not, Nick, there's a lot of ex-miners that still, although they didn't like what she was doing with the miners and the pits, on reflection, they're looking back and they're thinking, well, actually, you know, she was a strong lady. She didn't do us any favours.
Well, the reality is, lastly, and I must let you get on, Yorkshire people are pretty direct. They call it the way they see it. That's probably why Mrs. Thatcher actually would appeal to a lot of Yorkshire folk, because she was pretty plain speaking, wasn't she?
I think you're right, Nick, yeah.
Enjoy your weekend, Ian, down in Cardiff. Thank you for all your input on that. We'll have more calls on that in a moment. Now, we're staying with politics, but I'll be asking you later, and credit if you have you ever confronted a fair dodger, whether it be on the underground, as we're going to discuss in a moment with my colleague LBC's Henry Riley, or it might have been on an overground train, or it could have been a bus. One of my colleagues saying that she sees almost every morning people get on, not just simply walking past and not scanning their card. This has its origins with a politician, but as I say later, have you ever done it? For goodness sake, be careful. Excuse me. For goodness sake, be careful. But have you confronted a fair dodger? Well, Bobby Jendrick has turned Charles Bronson and has done it, and LBC's Henry Riley's in the studio with the details. Morning, Henry.
Morning, Nick. They're calling him Detective...
Have you dressed as someone from the London Transport?
I've just got
a
short-sleeve...
white short-sleeve shirt, as if you're a bus driver.
If I'd known this was going to be the talking point of the office this
morning... You're going undercover.
I wouldn't have worn it.
Undercover for LBC. Tell me you've got blue trousers on.
I have got blue trousers on.
OK. Henry Riley reports.
A short-sleeve white shirt. Nick, Detective Chief Superintendent Robert Jenrick has been spending the half-term holidays trying to catch fair dodgers. He had no suit. Instead, he's donning a sort of checkered, recess-friendly shirt. The Shadow Justice Secretary descended underground a few days ago at one of the capital's busiest railway and tube stations, Stratford. A video plastered on social media, watched so far by nearly 10 million people.
Excuse me, do you think it's all right not to pay?
Seriously, why do you go back to the barrier and pay?
Do you want to go back and pay like everybody else? Do you think it's all right not to pay?
Why don't you go back and pay?
You can as much as you want. But everyone else has to pay. What are you carrying, a knife?
It's unusual to see a politician self-shooting these videos, Nick.
Why did he take an orchestra with him?
I'm not quite sure, no. But you often see sort of politicians going out with their local bobbies or wearing a high-vis, but actually to do this, take matters into your own hands, is unusual. He spoke with Ben Kentish on LBC yesterday about why he made the video.
I subscribe to the broken windows idea that if you allow one small act of law-breaking to take hold, many more people will join in, and then some of those people will go on to commit more serious offences, and the issue will just get ever, ever worse.
But not everyone has been supportive. Former police officer Graham Wetton told LBC he felt it set a dangerous precedent.
My issue is with the way he's actually conducted this. A sensible, responsible, balanced way would have been to contact TfL, ask to go out with one of the revenue teams. I think it's a dangerous precedent when you see an elected politician doing this sort of stunt on their own without any, I presume, no risk assessment, no awareness.
I then caused a bit of mischief, Nick, when I asked Transport for London whether Robert Jenrick had permission to film. They said he had no permission to film. However, his team say it's not for commercial purposes and so he didn't need to ask permission, whereas my source at TfL said actually if the Shadow Justice Secretary's got a big sort of feature film, they probably should have let them know. He was asked about that by Ben Kentish. It's clear he had little time for TfL.
If TfL want to take action against me, bring it on. I think what they are doing is completely ridiculous and laughable. They should be spending their time trying to apprehend the people who are actually breaching the rules by not paying for their fares.
Now, last month, more than 3,000 people were convicted of fare dodging. TfL say the practice is unacceptable. One individual recently, Nick, actually used a contactless payment card to evade 202 journeys. They then had to pay £1,500 in fine. But TfL say it's currently 3.4% of all journeys on the network. In New York, it's 13%. So they say it's much lower. But by 2030, they want to get it down to 1.5%.
OK. Henry, say after me, all change, please.
This bus terminates at the next stop.
Wouldn't let you on my bus.
Henry Reilly, for some reason, dressed as Reg Varney from on the buses, reporting. We'll come back to that later. Isn't that depressing? I feel like I've woken up in a parallel universe from Henry Reilly's report, because you have the police officer say, no, he shouldn't do that. He should have gone out. He should have gone out with a special team. Should have let everybody know. And you've got the politician saying, I want to get out there and see what's happening. Isn't that half the battle, that we don't stand up to these people? By the way, on this story, Transport for London staff have been told they do not need to intervene to stop fare dodgers. TfL, of course, part of the remit of Sir Sadiq Khan, the Mayor of London, tells workers while station staff should encourage travellers to pay, they do not have to confront them. Encourage people? What do you mean, encourage? What are you... hello, sir, excuse me. Yes. What are you planning to... I wonder, have you thought of paying for this fare? It might be... no, thanks. No wonder we're going to hell in a bloody handcart. This is incredible. A minute to do a couple of the many emails that are coming in. Started the show with the Empire Fights Back, Sir Keir Starmer launching an attack on Nigel Farage's sums don't add up and other assertions. Andy in Portsmouth, after that awful attack on Nigel Farage and reform by Starmer, the odds on Labour being pressured to allow the country an earlier general election must be odds on. Has Starmer got a reform person advising him? Daniel in Wellian Garden City, Starmer has to hold these press conferences as damage limitation against reform. Too many people are hanging on Nigel Farage's every word, but need to understand the facts and the consequences. Do keep them coming. Now, why is the most powerful man in the Western world, the President of the United States, being called a taco?
Mr. President, Wall Street analysts have coined a new term called the taco trade. They're saying Trump always chickens out on your tariff threats, and that's why markets are higher this week. What's your response to that?
I kick out?
Chicken out.
Oh, isn't that nice? Chicken out. I've never heard that.
Yeah, he says it's foul. But what's the truth? That's after the news. 7:30, you're listening to Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, on LBC. Headlines, Thomas Watts.
The 53-year-old man accused of driving a car into a crowd at Liverpool's trophy parade is due to appear in court later. Paul Doyle has been charged with multiple offences, including GBH with intent, over Monday's incident. Hamas is reportedly set to reject the latest US proposal for a ceasefire in Gaza. Sources say the plan, which would see more hostages released and a 60-day truce, doesn't meet Hamas's key demands. President Trump has won a temporary reprieve against the order to block his trade tariffs. Judges have agreed to pause the ruling made by a federal trade court earlier this week ahead of a full appeal. LBC weather, cloud with rain for many places this morning, then turning drier and brighter later. A high of 25 degrees.
This is LBC.
Girl, amazing suitcase.
Yeah, I love it. I had my eye on it for a while. I used ClearPay.
Oof, what's the interest on that?
None.
Babe.
Seriously, zero interest. Pay in full, interest free. Download the ClearPay app. ClearPay is unregulated credit. Use responsibly. 18 plus. T's and C's, eligibility criteria and late fees up to £24 per purchase apply at clearpay.co.uk/terms.
If you open your Aero chocolate and find it's missing its delicious bubbles, you could start a journal about why the universe is conspiring against you. Or draw something dramatic to match your mood. Or try the classic. Scream into a pillow. But what you should do is celebrate. You've just found a bubbleless Aero and won a £10,000 cash prize. Buy an Aero promotional pack this afternoon. And if you find it bubbleless, you'll win £10,000. 18 plus T's and C's apply.
The advert looked genuine. A post from a household name. Experts in money. A hot opportunity. They asked for a small amount. Promised a great return. Took all I had. And then disappeared. Investment scammers are highly sophisticated. And every month, CEL talk to thousands of people like you who've fallen victim. Our experts can help recover your money. So head to celsolicitors.co.uk today. CEL.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Have you turned vigilante after Bobby Jenrick comes over all Charles Bronson or Clint Eastwood? We'll take your calls on that later in the show. We're doing more of that, by the way, also after it. 7:33 now into the world of finance. And why is the big enchilada being called a taco? Christian May, editor-in-chief at City AM, explains. Morning, Christian.
Good morning to you. Yeah, a bit of a routine now, isn't it? We go to bed, we wake up,
And there's been a further twist in Donald Trump's tariff agenda. We discussed yesterday this little-known trade court in the US that effectively ruled that the bulk of his tariff agenda had actually surpassed his powers. The White House said they would appeal immediately, which they've done. And they've been granted a reprieve, a couple of weeks at least. Everybody expects now that this is going to go all the way up to the Supreme Court. It is a tussle over the power that the White House has, the power of the executive branch over the power of Congress. Trump has described the court's agenda as country-destroying. The White House reacted furiously. Where does it leave his negotiations? Well, I mean, the European Union, among others, is still in intense negotiations about this. They now know that their negotiating partner is facing pressure from within, if you like, that there is now uncertainty added to the agenda. But Trump's trade team have said, look, even if we lose these court cases, we're going to find a way to do this anyway.
You're not going to thank me for this question, but how? Because it changes, as you rightly say, almost by the hour. But how is this going to play out over the weekend, do you think, Christian?
Well, I mean, there'll be a bit of a reprieve in the sense that markets won't be trading over the weekend. We know that they dipped a little bit in Asia. We'll look at the US situation when they open later. So Trump has made it perfectly clear that he has no intention of swallowing the court's authority on this. So there's plenty of politics as well as the legal arguments. That's how the weekend's going to be shaped.
All right, let's move to other matters. Come here at home. Their current advertising slogan is, that's more like it, but it doesn't appear to be working for this supermarket chain. Christian.
Well, Asda have had a bit of a tough time of things. There's no doubt about it. They were taken over by private equity giant TDR a number of years ago, since when their market share has slipped, and they've been facing huge pressure from the discounters as well as their traditional big rivals. The chairman, who's been drafted back in, Alan Layton, has said that there is now evidence of some green shoots of recovery. That's not immediately obvious in the numbers, although they did generate about 5 billion quid in revenue. That's not small change in the first few months of this year. Nevertheless, they have suffered a bit more of a decline of their year-on-year growth and a bit of a decline in their like-for-like sales. They've said that they are investing dramatically in trying to bring prices down. That's made more difficult by the issue that you and I discuss all the time, which is, of course, food price inflation, which is still causing a bit of a nightmare, to say nothing of the additional cost pressures on big retailers at the moment. So they say they're in the middle of a turnaround plan. Analysts are a little bit sceptical as to quite how they can pull it off, given the headwinds.
Let's move to other matters. Now, to some share prices, and shares in Ryanair closed yesterday at over €21 for the 28th consecutive day, which triggered part of the remuneration for the boss, Michael O'Leary. What was that worth?
Well, I like to think that when that share price target was hit, there was some sort of trigger and some confetti rained down in Michael O'Leary's office, because it's basically netted him about €100 million.
That's right, €100 million.
One of the biggest corporate bonuses in European history. This is because he hit a particular target of hitting a particular share price for a particular number of days. Now, he has to stick around for another few years to crystallise it. I'm sure that he will. He's been there about 30-odd years as it stands. This carrier is tremendously successful, and I think they took about 200 million passengers, the first European airline to hit that figure last year. So he's going to stick around over the next few years to crystallise this bonus payment. And he, by the way, he has very little patience, as you might imagine, for people who criticise this. He called any criticism of this arrangement mewling nonsense, compared himself to footballing superstars, etc., said he's basically worth every penny. And there is a case to say that he is, when you consider what he's done to that business. Took it from absolutely nothing, regional Irish flyer in the 80s, took it to what it is today. And so he's, I'm sure, looking forward to that. He'll be about 67, 68 years old by the time that money comes in, and, well, he can spend some more time with his racehorses.
Yeah, I doubt he'll fly on the airline a great deal. It's not the sort of level of comfort he might expect. Lastly, why would Nationwide clients, customers, I don't know what you call them, why might they be celebrating, Christian?
Well, they call them members.
Oh, do they? I'm so sorry, member. Oh, right, it's like John Lewis, is it? All right, OK, they're members then. On we go.
And they've got millions of them, and if you're amongst them, you'll receive a cheque for £100 for the third year. Which is nothing to sniff at. Nationwide have announced or confirmed that they will be paying out to their members once again off the back of some pretty impressive financial results, which in their own part were largely driven by their very successful tie-up with Virgin Money. I say tie-up, they snapped up Virgin Money, which has made them, I think, the second biggest mortgage lender in the country. They're on a bit of a roll. They seem to be committed to high street banking when others are pulling back from it. They're calling for a change to mortgage affordability rules so they can help more people get on the housing ladder. And if you are one of those members, either with an account, I think, or a mortgage, you can expect a check in the post.
Enjoy your weekend. Thank you. Christian Mayer's editor-in-chief at City AM. The time is 7.38. Coming to you, David, you'll be the next caller. We're looking at the Sakir Starmer, fight back yesterday and mentioning Nigel Farage. If you were listening at the start of the show, my colleague, the political editor, Natasha Clark, did a sequence of the number of times that Sakir mentioned Nigel Farage or Farage, and I lost count after nine, and on and on and on and on and on it went, with all the journalists asking, why are you targeting so much? David's going to give me a view on that in a moment. Just a couple more, though, from the social media and the text. Tony says, you've got to stop lying about Reform UK, saying that it's not costed. There'll be £45 billion savings from net zero, £30 billion to Mauritius, £22 billion on carbon capture. And Tony, all you go on with all the figures. But I have to remind you, a number of independent financial analysts, Tony, all this week dismiss those claims and say it doesn't add up, and it doesn't add up to about £80 billion. One last one. Ben in Skipton, why do you keep saying Farage doesn't know where he gets the money from? He did state how it would be funded. You're all doing this. Well, I've just explained. The economists, who are quite important to listen to at times like this, certainly possibly more than the politician, says it does not add up. Let's get voices on the radio. That's what we're about in the morning. David's in Leicester. David, your reaction. Good morning. Why is he rattling all the cages?
Morning, Nick.
Hello, sir.
I'm a bit surprised that you're surprised at why Farage is getting the government in such a flap.
Spell it out for me, sir. Go on.
He's had,
I need your
such
help.
A massively, massively disproportionate amount of airtime on all media channels and stuff, despite Reform being such a small party. The amount of coverage that they've been given, it's no wonder that the government are having to respond to what Reform are saying.
But isn't it almost a vicious or virtuous circle? Because he gets so much because his party did so well at the local elections and that by-election and the mayoral election. So does it not feed itself, David? I'd like your view on that.
No, it's not a recent thing that he's been getting so much airtime. It seems like it's been years that Farage has been on every single day, either sort of in the studio or calling in. And even with yourselves at LBC, he seems to be on fairly frequently.
Because he's popular. I don't want to be rude. I really don't want to be, but there's no point banging on about Ed Davey, is there, really? I mean, unless you're Mrs. Davey, there's not a great point, because no one... He's a very nice guy, and he's the sort of guy you'd trust to water the plants if you went on holiday. But he's not going to set the world alight, is he?
My point is simply that it seems like Farage is a media-made man. He's popular because he's been getting so much airtime, not because he's actually of any benefit.
But he knows how to play it. That's his skill, isn't it? Sir Ed throws himself down a roller coaster or something like that. Everybody has a laugh, dresses as a pantomime dame. Well, he hasn't quite gone that far. You'll probably think of that. And it's not. He doesn't connect, David, does he?
I'm sure that Ed Davey would love to be on the media more and not have to do ridiculous things to get any airtime. But it doesn't seem like he actually gets the chance.
All right, mate. I've enjoyed our conversation. Hey, you're a Foxes fan.
I'm a rugby fan.
You got the right end of the coin there. It has been horrific. You can chuckle. Oh, dear, I don't remember it being this bad for a while. David, look after yourself. Have a good weekend in the capital of the East Midlands, up in there in Leicester by the River Soar, a city I know well. Well, the river might soar the team, doesn't it? 7.41. Let's go a little bit further up north. We go to another city beginning with L, but it's Liverpool. And, of course, they enjoyed that football success. But it was marred by a tragedy with what happened at the parade. Charges now, as you've already heard, on LBC, which rather precludes any more conversation, but we need to tell you where we now find ourselves with the legal position. Let's go to LBC's reporter joining me from Liverpool, Liam Gotting. Morning, Liam.
Yes, morning, Nick. Well, 53-year-old Paul Doyle from the West Derby area of Liverpool has been charged with 7 offences, those being 1 count of dangerous driving, 2 counts of causing grievous bodily harm with intent, 2 counts of wounding with intent and 2 counts of attempting to cause grievous bodily harm. Now, at yesterday's press conference, which was led by Sarah Hammond, the Chief Crown Prosecutor for the CPS in Merseyside and Cheshire, she said the charges will be kept under review as the investigation progresses.
Prosecutors and police are continuing to work at pace to review a huge volume of evidence. This includes multiple pieces of video footage and numerous witness statements. It is important to ensure that every victim gets the justice they deserve.
She also urged people not to comment or share information which could in any way prejudice legal proceedings. Now, the Assistant Chief Constable of Merseyside Police, Jenny Sims, was also at that press conference. She added that seven people are still in hospital in a stable condition after what happened on Monday night, and a total of 79 people were injured in the collision, with the youngest being just 9 years old. She also said detectives are continuing to go through CCTV, dash cam and mobile phone footage. Here is the Assistant Chief Constable speaking yesterday.
The man arrested by Merseyside Police following the incident on Water Street has now been charged with seven serious offences. Doyle has been remanded into custody and he will appear at Liverpool Magistrates Court in the morning.
One of these charges relate to six people who were injured, including two of those children. And as we heard from the Assistant Chief Constable there, Paul Doyle will appear at Liverpool Magistrates Court this morning around 10 o'clock.
Liam Gotting reporting, 7:44 the time. Bit more on the social media. I'm going to try and get that right because I often don't represent it as much as I should. Ricky says, let's be honest, immigration, the boats and the migrants hanging around in our town centres are the reason Reform and Nigel Farage are relevant and the reason Sir Keir Starmer is panicking. Simon in East Grin said, you just can't win with you. You slate Labour, you slate the Conservatives and now you're slaying Nigel Farage. You're never happy. But, Simon goes on, Farage will sort this country out. Meanwhile, Richard and Stevenage is anything but impressed. I don't get all this fuss about him. I think he's a liar. He's even more dishonest than Boris Johnson. Do keep them coming. Now, coming up after the news, we will hear from a government minister how there will be more than £1 billion spent in vital repairs to what they call our crumbling schools and hospitals. If you possibly your child is on half, or children are on half term. I know not the whole country, but quite a chunk of the country. But as and when you get ready to take him, her, them back on Monday, what is the state, the building repairs or lack of in your school? And the last time you went to a hospital, or indeed if you work in a hospital, and I'm thinking of some of the hospitals I've visited in recent years, they really do need that money. So just how bad a problem is that? And then in the next hour, we will come back to this story.
Mind the gap.
The gap, by the way, in TfL prosecutions for fare dodging has dropped some 40% in a year. And it's been tackled by that prominent Conservative MP, Robert Jenrick. He confronted some of those dodgers. Have you, would you, or did you? And how did it go? Remember, TfL staff are told they should encourage people to pay. The hell's that all about? 7:45 LBC News headlines. Thomas Watts.
The man accused of driving a car into a crowd at Liverpool's trophy parade is due to appear in court later. Donald Trump has won a temporary reprieve against the order to block his trade tariffs. Hamas is reportedly set to reject the latest American proposal for a ceasefire in Gaza. LBC weather, cloudy with rain for many places, then brightening up later, a high of 25 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. These problems on the underground do continue. The Hammersmith and City line can't run between Barking and Liverpool Street. Then there are severe delays on the rest of the line. The District line is suspended from East Ham to Whitechapel and there are minor delays on the Piccadilly line. No Woolwich Ferry running. It's still suspended because of the ongoing technical problem. On the A1 northbound, just after Mill Hill Circus, a lorry's broken down, so one lane is closed. In East Ham, the High Street North remains closed in both directions, and that's all down to a fire in a building that started last night. And on the M2 westbound, two lanes are closed at Junction 2 at the A228, and that's because of the emergency bridge works.
This is LBC.
Samantha?
Go on, reward yourself. Get £4 2D tickets at Cineworld when you book online using club card vouchers and visit between 27th of May and the 8th of June, celebrating 30 years of rewards with Tesco Club Card. Prices for standard 2D ticket, T's and C's apply. See tesco.com/cineworld.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
Already daydreaming about that wave of hot air as you step off the plane? EasyJet has flights from just £30 one way to over 130 holiday hotspots and hidden gems. It's time to get your summer on. Book now at easyjet.com. Get out there. Selected flights June to September. Limited availability. T's and C's apply.
Looking for a fixed passive income backed by real demand? With ulezprosperity.com, you buy the car, we rent it from you for a set period. You stay the legal owner and we pay you up to £600 per month in fixed rental income. No hassle, no maintenance, no tenants. It's a straightforward asset-backed rental agreement. Visit ulezprosperity.com for conditions and to learn more. That's ulezprosperity.com. Simple, steady, secure.
For whoever they want to be in life, give them a great start with WellKid. Carefully balanced, great-tasting vitamins and minerals for 4 to 12-year-olds with specific nutrients such as zinc and vitamin D, which support normal immune system function. The WellKid range from Vitabiotics, from Boots, pharmacies and Vitabiotics.com.
With Little Plus Fruity Super Spin, simply shop and spin to win a free fresh fruit coupon with every shop. Download the Little Plus app to get by switching to the Retail Industry Awards Fresh Produce Retailer of the Year. 18 plus GB residents, various prizes available, subject to availability. Ends 4th of the 6/25. Full T's and C's apply. See little.co.uk/bin.
The Virgin Atlantic Holiday Sale is now on. This is your sign to taste Jamaican jerk chicken so good it brings a tear to your eye. Catch a New York basement gig worth the 10-block detour. Or hit the dunes in Dubai and find sand in your pockets for weeks. Seize the sale. Book in store or online at Virgin Atlantic Holidays. Selected routes. For T's and C's, visit virginatlantic.com.
This is LBC. Message Nick Ferrari on WhatsApp now on 0345 60 60973.
The numbers are far as from reality, so why? Do you see what I did? That would work in a newspaper headline. I accept that. It's not so good far as from reality. I understand that. You take the boy out of the sun, you can't take the sun out of the boy. So why is everyone getting so rattled? Dave in Portsmouth is about to explain. Hello, sir. Why is it?
Everyone seems going so well.
Richard Holden, the Conservative Party, well, he was chairman, was telling me why Nigel Farage is a horse's backside when it comes to politics. Sir Keir Starmer couldn't stop saying his name yesterday. It was Farage saying, why are you so obsessed? Why is it? Because the numbers don't add up, Dave.
Yeah, but also the numbers don't add up or anything adds up with what Labour say or what Conservatives say. They're all bickering amongst themselves. Ah. Reform is actually small, we know that, but strange things happen. Now, did you know that Nigel Farage is the bookies' favourite to become the next Prime Minister?
Honestly, are you sure about that?
Absolutely. You get your staff to, your colleagues to check it out, okay?
I'll just do it now. Staff! Just, will you check Corals, please, staff? Or Paddy Power, or Vet Victor? Yeah, I'm on it. Dave, go ahead.
Okay, so that's interesting. Now, I think one of the main issues at the moment, as we all know, is this business with the boats.
Yes.
The amount of Prime Ministers and Home Secretaries who have said with great confidence, we're going to stop the boats, but they never do, and they never say how they're going to do it.
Do you think he's got the policy, Mr. Farage has the policy to actually stop the boats? He is King Canute. There's a wordplay on that.
Well, let's put it this way. He's got more chance than anyone else, but I was
trying to say, by the way, sorry to interrupt, sir. Nigel Farage has emerged as a favourite with Ladbrokes to replace Keir Starmer. After a flurry of bets, the bookies have slashed odds. When is this dated, please? He's gone down from 13 to 8. So that was, exactly a week? Just over 10 days ago. Right, on you go, Dave. Yep.
While we're on this subject, if we've got a couple of seconds. I think the whole boats problem is not being attacked the right way, because when they get to the shores of the UK, it's too late. We're then duty bound to have them in for human rights reasons, and they have a whole load of medical people and admin. Now, why not do it the other way around? Get the authorities to go to the French border and stop them actually physically going on those boats, and then, whereas the French authorities just look at them and wave them off and say, have a good time.
But I don't know if they're having a good time, but certainly there's no effort made. Once they get in the water, there's no suggestion that they'll haul them back or actually not allow them. They almost seem to want to push them out midway across the English Channel. Dave, enjoy your weekend. Thank you. We must go to other matters, political matters, though, because is the school, as I said earlier, it's possible your child or your children are on half-term. For much of the country, they are, so they'll be going back on Monday. But what's the standard of the school to which they will be returning? If you're a teacher or one of the clerical staff, caretaker, whatever, groundsman or woman, again, what's the condition like? And if you're part of our mighty NHS, What are the hospitals or possibly the clinics in which you work? Well, the government says there's room and need for action, and they've earmarked £1.2 billion worth. Here to explain more is Labour MP and Minister for School Standards, Catherine McKinnell. Good to have you on. I appreciate we might focus first on the schools, but if we can bring hospitals in too, where is the money? How will it be decided where the cash goes, Minister? Morning to you.
Good morning. Yes, so we've got schools and hospitals in a shocking state of disrepair. So we really want to turn the tide on that. We're investing £1.2 billion across schools and hospitals. So £750 million of that is going to over 400 hospitals. I mean, we're talking repairing leaking roofs and windows, upgrading electrics. And then as part of a wider £2.1 billion of investment in school buildings, this is a pot of money that's allocated to help 656 schools fix things like boilers and roofs and asbestos. And fundamentally, it's about more than the buildings. It's about, obviously, the education of the children within, that they get excellent education for every child. And it's about making sure that hospitals can deliver for patients because, you know, can you imagine being a surgeon, having to cancel a surgery because the lights don't go on? No. It's just unthinkable.
Is this all new money, Minister?
So this is money that was allocated at the autumn budget, and the allocations are now being made, and they are really being made right across England through, you know, right across all of the integrated care system areas. And in terms of schools, it's going on the most sort of pressing needs. So this is funding that schools have bid into to get the funding. And obviously we recognise there is a wider Rebuilding Schools programme. There is a wider NHS investment programme in capital infrastructure. But this is a pot of money that really is literally fixing the foundations so that we can deliver our plan for change.
And how many months or possibly years is this building programme going to last?
Yeah, so this is a pot of money specifically for 2025 to 2026 financial year. And so these projects will be up and running very quickly. So hopefully people will start to see where things have been broken in their local NHS or in their local school, they can start to be fixed. Again, you know, it doesn't replace that wider rebuilding programme that we clearly need to see. There's a big backlog of investment in our public services. But we see this not as investment in the buildings, it clearly is, but it's investment in the people that work in them, that use them, that need those services to really improve outcomes for, as far as I'm concerned, as Minister for Schools, to really deliver on that excellent education for every child. You have to, I mean, what a memory of the last government of children literally sitting under steel props. There's a lot of work to do to make sure we fix all of that and that it doesn't happen again.
Well, I'm reminded of that, Minister. Of course, under the previous administration, under the Conservatives, we had this rack scandal, as I believe it was called. Has all the rack now been taken out or is in the process of we are over that hurdle, Minister?
So we're not over that hurdle yet, and we're not over it in the NHS either. We have identified all the rack, though, and there are plans in place for either fixing it through a separate programme to this, or indeed just rebuilding the buildings, because for the fact that they had rack in them means that they're probably a substantial age as a building. So there is a Rebuilding Schools programme. We are accelerating that as well as much as we can. We have taken a little bit of time to assess the full situation to make sure that we make sure we have a plan in place to deliver. But we have been engaging with all of the schools that are impacted to make sure they're aware of that. We know exactly what their needs are. They're aware of the plan, and we can work with them. But this fund, actually, for some of those schools that actually do need a full rebuild, they can still access this fund to support them in the interim period, because we appreciate you can't just switch a switch and everything be rebuilt the way it needs to be.
Just briefly, while I have the benefit of you on the line, Minister, a couple of other points. We're talking about Sir Keir Starmer and his speech yesterday up in St Helens, in which he referenced Nigel Farage. We've actually lost count of the number of times, and Mr Farage has, I think, sent out a social media post from Las Vegas asking why he, Sir Keir, is so obsessed with him. Why is the Prime Minister obsessed with Nigel Farage, Minister?
So, I mean, I think it's really important to listen to voters and some of the issues that they've identified. I also think it's really important to call out when things are being said that need challenged. And I mean, I think we all experienced the disastrous Liz Truss budget and promises that couldn't be delivered, couldn't be paid for, and were too good to be true. And it turned out they were, and they completely crashed the economy, and everyone's been paying the price for that. So I think it's right to call out where promises are being made where there's no clear indication of how they'll be delivered. And I think it's important to call it out. And I think that that's all it is. It's sort of seeking a bit of reality within our political debate.
Finally, Minister, would you support conceding ground on the two-child benefit cap?
I'm working really hard, along with many other ministers across departments, to really develop our Child Poverty Task Force strategy. I think there's a whole raft of measures that we need to look at, from cost of living, cost of energy, cost of water.
No, but would you keep the two-child benefit cap?
Bringing down the cost of going to school.
Yes.
Sorry?
Would you keep the cap is my question.
So, I mean, I'm not going to speculate on decisions.
No, but which way do you feel? I'm not a decision, your personal motivation. Which way do you feel about it? Would you support it?
So I'm absolutely determined to tackle child poverty and
The two-child benefit gap.
I've always said that I think it's really important that we look in the round at what is driving child poverty,
what is putting children in poverty, what is holding families back.
Oh, well, we'll look at that. We'll look at that in terms
of... You don't know.
As part of... Haven't made a decision. We're coming up with a strategy as to how we drive down child poverty.
Okay.
And I think whatever achieves that, I will support.
Grateful for your time. Thank you. Talking about that spending £1.2 billion for vital repairs to crumbling schools and hospitals. School Standards Minister Catherine McKinnell, thank you for your time. I always thought caps were pretty important for school standards. Indeed, the school I went to, if you weren't found with your cap, that was a standard that they used to pick up on. Let's go a minute late to the news and pick up on this with John in Birmingham. You're a school governor. Are you pleased to hear? Does your school need cash, and what does it need? Do we need paint? Do we need a new boiler? Do we need a new roof? What is it? Morning.
Nick, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm all right.
Yeah, for me, just really, really disappointing to hear that, Minister. Clearly been to the Farage School of calculating. 32,000 schools in the UK. That means that money's going to stretch to around about 40K, 40,000 per school. School I'm at, we desperately need more investment in the school. It's a Victorian school. The head teachers having to go in holidays to actually fix things themselves, and also I've been painting school halls over the summer last year.
Credit to you.
Try and save school some money, which is really, really wrong. But what really gets me is you've got some fantastic teachers out there, and I'm not, you don't even start me on the NHS side, but some fantastic teachers out there who don't know where they stand, where their pay is coming from, because the government just mess about, push your foot around, and don't make a decision.
And that's why the frustration is there. John, the music means we have to move on. Thank you. We got you in. We gave you that minute. But we must now move on. Thank you, John. Good luck with what you're doing at that school. Coming up after the news, Conservative Robert Jenrick turns vigilante as he tackles London's fare dodgers.
You think it's all right not to pay? Seriously, why do you go back to the Barry and pay? Do you want to go back and pay like everybody else? Do you think it's all right not to pay? Why don't you go back and pay?
And he took a synthesizer with him as he did it, which is always a good move. Have you ever confronted a fare dodger, and how did that go? Plus, to the Middle East, Israel announces a major expansion of settlements in the occupied West Bank, and a return to that LBC exclusive yesterday. Children can access and buy knives, the ease with which they buy them, and even sell them to each other. Those stories and more follow the 8 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 8 o'clock, the suspect in the crash at the Premier League trophy parade in Liverpool is due to appear in court. 79 people were injured in the city on Monday evening. LBC's Liam Gotting has the latest.
Paul Doyle from the West Derby area of Liverpool has been charged with 7 offences, those being 1 count of dangerous driving, 2 counts of causing grievous bodily harm with intent, 2 counts of wounding with intent, and 2 counts of attempting to cause grievous bodily harm. Now, at yesterday's press conference, which was led by Sarah Hammond, the Chief Crown Prosecutor for the CPS in Merseyside and Cheshire, she said the charges will be kept under review as the investigation progresses.
Children as young as 14 could be selling knives on social media platforms like Snapchat. The warning follows an investigation by LBC that found an average of 12 knives are being found in the UK's schools every day. LBC's crime correspondent Andy Hughes joined police as they arrested 2 teenagers.
Hello, it's the police. Can you come to the door?
So they've just started beginning to search the house. Now these kids are only 14 and 16, the suspects, and they're believed to have sold hundreds of knives across the country. Zombie knives, deadly knives. And we're here so early because it's before the school run. They need to catch them before they go to school.
Snapchat says it takes action to remove content that breaches its rules. You can watch Andy's full special investigation, The Knife Crime Generation, on the LBC app now. Hamas is expected to reject the White House's latest plan for a ceasefire in Gaza. The US says Israel has accepted the proposal, which includes a 60-day pause in fighting and the release of more hostages. President Trump has won a temporary reprieve against the order to block his trade tariffs. Judges have agreed to pause the ruling made by a federal trade court earlier this week ahead of a full appeal. It means the administration can keep collecting the import taxes for now. Ministers have set out how they'll allocate money for school and hospital repairs in England. Around £1.2 billion, funding announced last year, will be used to address issues at hundreds of buildings. Schools Minister Catherine McKinnell told Nick some are in a shocking state.
We're talking repairing leaking roofs and windows, upgrading electrics, and then as part of a wider £2.1 billion of investment in school buildings, this is a pot of money that's allocated to help 656 schools fix things like boilers and roofs and asbestos.
In the city, the FTSE 100's reopening at 87.16. It closed down 9 points yesterday. The pound buys $1.34 and a euro 18. LBC weather. Cloudy with rain for many places this morning, turning drier and brighter later. A high of 25 Celsius. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watts.
Tonight's EuroMillions jackpot is £185 million. Pounds.
I think that deserves a whoop whoop. Thank you, faraway person. Get in tonight's Euro Millions draw. Play on app.
Subject to currency fluctuations, the jackpot is capped at 250 million euros. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, 4 minutes after eight on Friday, May the 30th. Can pay, won't pay. The epidemic that's spreading across the London Underground, and it needs to be said, by the way, public transport systems up and down the country, tackled by a prominent Conservative, some would say, as part of his campaign actually to wrest the Conservative leadership, Robert Jenrick. But I'll be asking you, once we've heard a little bit more detail on that story, have you ever confronted a fare dodger? Would you recommend it? In other news, more on the story you heard on the LBC News Bulletin.
Our investigation has found that kids as young as 14 are believed to be selling knives to other children on Snapchat. I'm LBC's crime correspondent Andy Hughes with the shocking details.
To the Middle East, Israel has said it will establish 22 new settlements in the occupied West Bank. Here, British Foreign Secretary David Lammy said yesterday,
what will end this suffering is a ceasefire, but if there's more that we can do to support children, of course we will seek to do that.
Plus,
people in London are more likely to be attached to the city as opposed to England. I'm LBC's Henry Riley, asking the good folk of the capital why.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Making the headlines, Shadow Justice Secretary Robert Jenrick, of course, he was pipped to the post to be leader of the Conservative Party. It's widespread speculation, I'm sorry, I think there might be the last bit of hay fever. Widespread speculation that he's part of his running to try and wrestle the leadership of the Conservative Party away from the rather uninspiring Kemi Badenoch. They are locked in fourth place, aren't they? As I said to the former party chairman, you don't go from 14 years in power to being in a remote fourth place, without putting in a heck of a lot of effort. That's quite some achievement they've managed there. How they're ever going to get... I mean, they've been around for nearly 200 years. Tamworth Manifesto, 1834. What the hell's he talking about? Look it up. 1834, Tamworth Manifesto. It may just be like all things. Anyway, let's come back to someone who thinks he could possibly be a good steward for the party. And he's tackling a real problem. Now, I know I'm speaking as a Londoner, but I'm sure this happens on transport systems, the Manchester Metro and other places, Birmingham and everywhere else in the great city of Leicester. I'm sure it goes on. But have you ever actually confronted someone? Well, as I say, Conservative Robert Jenrick chose to. Now, it is worth saying he did have a camera operator with him, so it wasn't like he was going on his own. He may well have had an assistant as well. I've no idea. By the way, it's not something I necessarily recommend you to do. But for Mr. Jenrick, it's probably got worked because it's gone viral. nearly 10 million views on one social media platform alone. So here he is, Robert Jenrick, playing the role of Charles Bronson at Stratford Station in East London.
Excuse me, do you think it's all right not to pay? Seriously, why do you go back to the barrier and pay? Do you want to go back and pay like everybody else? Do you think it's all right not to pay? Why don't you go back and pay? You can say off as much as you want. But everyone else has to pay. You're carrying a knife, you say? Nearly 1 in 25 people using London's public transport aren't paying for it. So there's 8 officers down there, but 1 minute away, that gate's wide open. It's also just annoying watching so many people break the law and get away with it.
Or at least most of it.
Right, should we go over here to these guys here? Excuse me, gents.
Hello, hello.
You're on camera, mate. You're bang to rights.
Just step to the side. And...
all right, thanks very much, guys.
Now, subsequently, in an interview with the Times newspaper, Mr. Jenrick said one person told him, "I've got a knife, I'm going to wreck you." He, Mr. Jenrick, says it's costing about £130 million a year. By the way, I absolutely underscore what he says. It is so annoying when you see people push through the barrier. And again, I speak of London. I don't obviously travel a lot on public transport in Birmingham or Manchester or other cities because I don't live there. But those barriers aren't particularly tough. I mean, I've seen a lad push his way through, and he wasn't a rugby player, this lad. There wasn't a lot to him, but just with one shove, mind you, there wasn't a lot of him, so that probably made me. I'd have to have a horse to get me through there. But one little mile push and he was off, and the staff just looked at him. Now, am I saying chase after him? Probably not. I don't want to see anyone get stabbed or punched or bottled or whatever it might be. I don't know. So what are the police view? Well, one former officer was not impressed. Policing commentator, former Met officer Graham Whetton, told LBC's Ian Dale.
I travel on the underground most days. There are still people fair dodging. You can see it on frequent journeys. So he has got a very valid point. My issue is with the way he's actually conducted this. A sensible, responsible, balanced way would have been to contact TfL, ask to go out with one of the revenue teams and see exactly what they face every day when they do confront people who are fair dodging. It's a dangerous precedent when you see an elected politician doing this sort of stunt on their own without any, I presume, no risk assessment, no awareness. I presume he's got very minimal, if any, security around him at all. My concern is, if people start doing similar things, that will lead to some really serious incidents.
And that's why we're in the state of policing that we are. Where was the risk assessment? That's what you hear from the police officer. Meanwhile, the politician's prepared to have a go. Have we got this the wrong way around? The cop is saying, no, get your high-vis vest on. Get a risk assessment. Put it through human remains. May you must sign off on it. And the politician says, nah, let's give it a go. Susan Hall's a politician, Conservative member of the London Assembly, and sits on the Police and Crime Committee at City Hall. Do you support Mr. Jenrick's work, Susan Hall? Good morning.
Damn right I do, and good morning, Nick. I mean, I can only speak for London as well, because I live in London. I use the underground most days. And every single day we see it, don't we? And yes, I have shouted at people.
Have you? Credit to you. What do you shout?
Some of it's not repeatable, but mainly you're cheating.
Hey, come on, Susan, you don't... Do you swear? Do you swear at them?
I get so cross. Yes, I do, because the rest of us pay our fees, right and proper, and more people are cheating.
OK, I want you to... Now, don't use... For God's sake, don't use the F word or the other one, but just pretend...
No, I wouldn't use that word anyway.
Oh, right.
No,
well,
no.
Just pretend I pushed through the barrier, right in front of you. Susan Hall, what would you shout at me?
Oi! You're cheating.
And what happens? Do they turn around and say, get off, clear off, what's it to you? What happens next, Susan?
Well, I've learnt new language, let me tell you. Some of the things they say to me is absolutely appalling. You know, you think, oh, I've not heard that before, but there we go. But it's no good just ignoring it. And I'm so disappointed to hear the police officer say no risk assessment. This is a problem. This is where we've got to in this country. Granted, I mean, Rob did talk to somebody who said he had a knife, and let's face it, Nick, we can believe that as well.
I'm afraid we can.
But if there was one enforcement officer against one other person, I get there's a real danger. If there's 8 of them stood in a corner, I'm sorry, that's unacceptable. And, I mean, the amount of money that's spent on these actual officers, I think it was 14.2 million on the underground was spent in 23-24. I mean... millions of pounds spent. I'd put cameras, AI cameras, on every exit and entrance. Yes. Well, same thing, isn't it? And start catching these blighters, because
I mean, we're having a little bit of humour, but it's, as you rightly say, it is serious. Fare dodging is more than double TfL's target of 1.5%. It's costing £130 million a year, which people like you and I, who pay our fares, have to pick up. Should the mayor be doing more, lastly, Susan Hall?
Well, he should, and I've had a go at him about this before, as you can imagine. And I must say, I think that figure is underestimated, because if I see it every day, and you see it when you go on the tube, I think that's the tip of the iceberg, quite frankly.
Always enjoy speaking with you. Susan Hall, thank you. As a Conservative member of the London Assembly and sits on the Police and Crime Committee at City Hall, 12 after 8. Listening to that is Peter Squires, who's a Professor of Criminology at the University of Brighton. Professor, you'll be aware of this, the so-called broken window theory. Does this play into that I don't pay my tube fare so I can nick something from a shop and then I can steal a bicycle or whatever it might be? Morning, Professor.
Morning. I think you're probably right. The broken windows idea is if people can get away with a little stuff, they will. I think in the case of Transport for London, I think the whole barrier system is designed to reduce staffing costs, a bit like supermarkets have you checking out your own goods. It reduces stuff, but it creates opportunities for abuse. And I think in Transport for London's case, they are stuck with a problem that if they want to kind of have a more secure system, they're going to have to employ more people and put in better technology.
Let's put ourselves in the position of the employer, TfL in this instance, a supermarket chain, whatever store it might be. Security officers told not to intervene, not to risk their personal safety. Employers don't have a different course of action there, do they?
No, and I think you made a joke about it, but I agree with the cop. The last thing we need are fights in tube stations where you get these moral vigilantes trying to take down people they think have failed to pay. I mean, I can see it. I've done things similar in the past to people who were vandalising park property. We do need people to stand up and be counted, but I don't think you do it in ways that are very risky. My other thought is there is an argument about how the fish rots from the head down. I think people also feel that there's a lot of rich people and powerful people getting away with all manner of stuff.
Oh, that's interesting.
And they want to have some too. Was it not so long ago that Robert Jenrick was mired in controversy about planning applications in Tower Hamlets that he had passed through? So I think we have a kind of rather selective sense of who should be punished for what here. And I think we need to kind of remember as a society that we all are invested in the same processes, and that if people didn't deny a responsibility for so much, whether it's fare dodgers or planning decisions, we'd all be rather better off.
And enjoyed our conversation, Professor. Thank you. We'll talk again. Peter Squires is Professor of Criminology at the University of Brighton. So have you tried to tackle this dodging? And what was the outcome? Were you successful? Do you, like the politician, shout, "Hey, why don't you pay?" But what did you hear back? It's 8:15, LBC News headlines. Thomas Watts.
The suspect in the crash at the Premier League trophy parade in Liverpool is due to appear in court this morning. LBC has learned children as young as 14 could be selling knives on social media platforms like Snapchat. And Hamas is expected to reject the White House's latest plan for a ceasefire deal in Gaza. LBC weather, cloudy with rain for many places this morning, a high of 25 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne. We're very slow on the western stretch of the M25 clockwise from junction 15 at the M4 to 16 at the M40. It's all after an accident that happened earlier. On the M2, very busy now, westbound to junction 2 at the A228. Two lanes are closed for the emergency works and the exit slip road also remains closed. Also, delays continue around Battersea, especially northbound over Battersea Bridge, and that's because of the closure of Albert Bridge. High Street North and East Ham remains closed both ways because of a fire in a building. No Woolwich Ferry running. It remains suspended because of this ongoing technical problem. On the Underground, the District Line is suspended from East Ham to Whitechapel, and no Hammersmith and City Line between Barking and Liverpool Street.
This is LBC.
Many dentists refer their own patients on to Darwood and Tanner.
My name is Dr. Mark Kent. I'm a general dental practitioner practicing in a North London suburb. Darwood and Tanner have become my preferred referral practice. I feel that Dr. Andrew Darwood can provide the highest level of implant surgery that is available, together with giving my patients the option of alternative specialist treatments.
Download your information pack today. Search Darwood and Tanner. Your smile is our healthy obsession.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973 LBC.
Calling all young creatives. Kickstart your career in media. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12 at Global Academy. GlobalAcademy.com.
With Little Plus Fruity Super Spin, simply shop and spin to win a free fresh fruit coupon with every shop. Download the Little Plus app to get by switching to the Retail Industry Awards Fresh Produce Retailer of the Year. 18 plus GB residents, various prizes available, subject to availability. Ends 4th of the 6th, 25. Full T's and C's apply. See little.co.uk/spin.
People ask me, what's my good place? Wild swimming with the girls on a chilly spring morning. And knowing that with PensionBee, I can choose to invest in line with my values, which is why I pitched their climate plan.
Last one in by blood!
At PensionBee, we believe that when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. Download the app or go to pensionbee.com and be pension confident when investing your capital is at risk.
The Virgin Atlantic Holiday Sale is now on. This is your sign to taste Jamaican jerk chicken so good it brings a tear to your eye. Catch a New York basement gig worth the 10-block detour. Or hit the dunes in Dubai and find sand in your pockets for weeks. Seize the sale. Book in store or online at Virgin Atlantic Holidays. Selected routes. For T's and C's, visit virginatlantic.com.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Credit if you did it, but how did it play out? Almost 19 minutes after 8, confronting fare dodgers. I do say now a warning, we are not suggesting you do it, we are not condoning, we are not recommending that you do it, but we want to hear your stories. And of course, anybody wants to address the fact that TfL set a limit and it is more than double. They think they, and I think we'd accept 1.5 would be an acceptable level. It's at 3.4. It's costing £130 million. For purpose of illustration, it's considerably worse in New York. It's a little bit worse in Paris. Joanna's in Sudbury Hill. Joanna, tell me the story. Good morning.
Yes, I have seen lots of people doing it, and yeah. I have asked people, a few people behind my back, pushing in.
Yes.
And I am the one who's paying, and the man is following me and pushing out. And I ask him, why are you doing that? You're piggybacking.
Yep.
You're supposed to be paying. I'm paying for you.
Yep.
And he laughed. He said, ha, 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 piggybacking. And a lady did it, and a school girl, and I said to them, you know, that is not ladylike. We're supposed to be an example.
Well done. Well said. What did they say back?
I was asked if I get paid for it to be a police to them.
Right.
Because if people are coping wrong things, and we also don't talk about it and confront them, we are not helping the government as well. Because all the things that needs fixing, it's getting worse if we people also not working with the government.
Well said, Joanna. Thank you for that. Michael in Dover. Michael, now you worked in public transport. Is that correct?
Yes, I did 30 years. Well, 2 months short of 30 years.
Wow.
Most of it was supervising at station.
Underground or overground?
5 years driving.
Wumbling free. Sorry, underground or overground?
Overground.
Overground station, okay. You saw some sights. Tell me some of the stations you worked at, Michael.
Well, mainly I was based at Dover.
Oh.
And used to have regular ticket evaders coming through.
Yeah.
And I'd always get out of the office and stroll up and down the platform checking tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting reactions you get from people. Even people that got a season ticket, they've paid thousands of pounds for a season ticket, and they'd object to me asking to see their ticket.
What, even? Hang on. But they had the season ticket on them anyway.
Yeah, they resented
Why?
The fact that they're pompous clowns. Basically,
what a lovely troop that would be, to create pompous clowns, available to hire for bar mitzvahs, weddings and anniversaries.
But basically, I used to say to him, you've paid thousands of pounds for your ticket, why wouldn't you want to show someone it?
And how did they, I mean, that seems so valid, how did they respond?
Well, they resented the fact that I demanded to see their ticket. But on the second point of asking to see their ticket, it helped me out. Because as I went along the platform and asked for tickets, those that didn't have tickets would obviously come up with all sorts of excuses why they weren't going to show me a ticket. And a lot of them would say, oh, you're victimising me. But then I could point to the season ticket holder and say, look, I've already asked for his ticket there. So that wiped that argument out of the story.
What's the most ludicrous attempt, explanation, excuse someone made for not having a ticket valid for travel?
Oh, there's so many. But can I tell you this little ditty? I was on the station one day and there's a regular...
Ditty? You're going to sing it, are you? You're going to sing it, Michael.
Oh, you regret that.
What happened?
Basically, these three guys came onto the station, regular travellers without tickets and what have you. Mm. I asked them for a ticket. They didn't have tickets. They went back to the ticket office because they knew my attitude was if you didn't have a ticket, you wouldn't travel. Mm. So they went back to the ticket office, bought a ticket to the next station along the line, which was Martin Mill. And I let them travel. We had a spare member of staff that day, so I told the station staff I was going out on the train. The train came in, they boarded the train, I went up to the conductor, I told them, these three guys travel to Deal regularly, they've only got tickets as far as Martin Mill, I'm going to come with you, and I'll kick them off the train at Martin Mill. As we arrived at Martin Mill, I walked down the train, there's the old slam door stop.
Yeah, I remember
that. I walked
down
the corridor, and they were sat in first class, ironically. And so I opened the door to the compartment they were in as the train came to a stop. I said, come on then, gents, this is your stop. And they said, no, we're going to Deal. I said, you've only got tickets for Martin Mill. I opened the door onto the platform. I said, come on, off you get. They said, oh, well, we've changed our minds. We want to go to Deal. I said, right, you go and buy a ticket from the conductor before the train's due to go. You can travel to Deal.
And what happened?
They leaped off the train, ran up the platform like greased lightning, bought tickets to Deal and boarded the train and carried on to Deal. The point is, it cost them a lot more to buy two tickets for the journey as opposed to one ticket.
Yep.
And they knew in future, any time they came through the station and asked for a ticket, they all had tickets to Deal because I knew that they travelled to Deal and I'd already kicked them off the train before.
You were the real deal on that one, Michael. Congratulations. Well done. And they knew they couldn't get away with it. Have yourself a good weekend. Thank you, down on the Kent coast. Guy's in Cleethorpes on this. Guy, your story. Good morning.
Morning, Nick. Great show as ever. My contribution to this is health and safety.
Ah,
I've seen health and safety just escalate beyond proportion.
What do you mean by
that? Well, it's got to a point where security guards in stores.
Oh yeah.
Nobody can challenge anybody because the businesses have gone through all the health and safety elements and said, oh, it's just everything has become too risky.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's crystallised by that police officer that came on and said...
Former officer, but yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
oh, sorry, yeah.
No, it's all right. No, where was the risk assessment and God knows what else?
Yeah, where was the risk assessment?
Put up a helicopter or something,
And just ask a question. So, for me, the bit that needs to change is if the stores and the rail network and what have you, if they're still in the situation where it's all too risky, if you've got sufficient training, why aren't they training these people who are policing, within TfL?
Well, bear in mind, the staff are told they should encourage people to pay, but they should not intervene, which is obviously for the safety of the staff. I understand that.
Well, that's the wrong way round, though, isn't it?
Well... Except would you want your son and daughter staring down a couple of blokes who might get a bit ugly and even produce a knife because they haven't paid their fare to get to London Bridge or wherever they need to go? Would you want that guy?
Well, if you're sufficiently trained and that happens, then that's a back-away situation. It's the same as what a police person would do. It's a back-away situation.
Yeah, but hold on. This time yesterday, we were talking about two police officers who, when confronted with a 92-year-old man with one leg, they tasered him. So God knows what they do with the fair dodge.
Well, that's health and safety again, then, isn't it? That's health and safety again.
Yeah, you're right. Guy, thank you. Tony and Stephen has just made that point. Let's not forget what happened at that care home in Sussex. Well done, well done there. Barbara in Essex, I was waiting for a friend at a local underground station. I couldn't believe the amount of fare dodgers going through the barriers, closely behind another person. I approached the station master. She shrugged her shoulders and said it happens all day, and there's nothing they can do. That's why, if ever you see me, I go very slowly through those barriers. I don't go particularly quickly anywhere these days anyway, but because of some time ago, and I'm still so angry about it, at one particular underground station, the embankment, someone pushed through behind me, and I was so cross. And so that's why I go really slowly, and I'm ready to just lock myself down like a... like in a rugby game, you know, you're 5 yards from your try line and you are not going to let them move the scrum. You just try. Go on, make my day. Simon's in Edgware. You're on the radio, Simon. What are you going to tell me? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. Robert Jenrick,
yes, sir,
is what I call a second-rate politician who's desperate for publicity, who is smarting and very angry and bitter because he lost the leadership to Kemi Badenoch and has produced this ridiculous publicity stunt to try and store up a little bit of interest in his genre.
Right.
You're not going to change anything. You and I will not be talking about this. Well, you will not be talking about this on your radio station. I wouldn't even spend much more time after that. But what needs to be done, I'm in the security business. I have assisted night staff once at a station, which I won't.
When you say you run a security firm or something, just give me a bit more.
I run corporate events in London.
Right, got it. Okay, go ahead.
I had a situation where someone tried to get in behind me once and I just shoved him back because then I'm 6'1" and well built. So,
right. Yeah, and you probably know what you're doing.
I've assisted night staff once and it humiliated a few of them while they ran off. I said, pay your fare, and he screamed at them. But look, this is a cheap publicity stunt. You're not going to change anything. While you have a system that has no deterrent, where there's not enough British Transport police officers to enforce it, that's why they're getting away with it. And this publicity stunt...
But what would you tell staff to do? Right, so TfL gate staff, whatever you call, sort of now report to you, and they say, Simon, every day we have this bloke who pushes through the embankment station or wherever it might be, Waterloo. What are you going to tell them to do?
No, you can't expect staff to take those kind of risks. They're not getting paid for it. What you do is you employ more private security staff, and I would actually have dog handlers at stations. It all comes down to resources, I agree,
mm-hmm.
but that is the only way you're going to stop it. And then you get them into a magistrate's court the very next day, and you put them away for a year.
Simon, we can't put, and I'm not saying this isn't a crime, but we can't, we're having trouble finding places for serious criminals.
I agree, but until we address that, nothing will change. The same with shoplifting. During COVID, I was running teams at a well-known supermarket chain. I won't say who it was. But we had pretty much a free hand. It's a deterrent factor, and there's no deterrent. This kind of publicity stunt by Jenrick will change nothing. You've got a mayor, a home secretary, and a government who couldn't even care less about crime, let alone dealing with this kind of thing.
Look, I think that's a fair perception. I do need to represent, I think, probably Sir Sadiq Khan, Sir Keir Starmer. A lot of sirs, isn't there? The Knights of the Realm. The Knights might be a nightmare, possibly. Sort of did the nightmare, sir. No, all right. So I just need to say they probably would think differently. Simon, I must go. I just want to read this out. Andy Newton. So you were furious when someone went through the gate behind you at the Tube. What did you say to them? What I remember saying was shouting, "Oi!" Which, having been a journalist... for 40 years, written more stories than you can shake a stick at, been on this show for over 20, all I could think of to say was oi. Ah, dear, it's not easy, this game, is it? Right, coming up after the news.
Our investigation has found that kids as young as 14 are believed to be selling knives to other children on Snapchat. I'm LBC's crime correspondent Andy Hughes with the shocking details.
Plus, do you have, or does someone you love or know, have ADHD? The extraordinary number of cases who are not diagnosed. We'll look at that later in the show, in the next hour, actually. 8:30, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrara, on LBC. News time then. Thomas Watts.
A man is due to appear in court accused of driving a car into a crowd at Liverpool's Premier League trophy parade. Paul Doyle has been charged with multiple offences, including causing GBH with intent. LBC has learned children as young as 14 are being investigated over knife sales on social media. Police say young people are using the platforms to bypass strict rules that retailers have to follow. The latest proposal from the White House for a ceasefire in Gaza is reportedly set to be rejected by Hamas. The US says Israel has accepted the plan, including the release of more hostages and a 60-day truce. LBC weather, cloudy with rain for many places, turning drier and brighter later. A high of 25 degrees.
LBC.
Badges are earned, not bought. I'm former Harlequins and England rugby captain Chris Robshaw, and I'm here to tell you the JQ7 has arrived.
The JQ7 has everything to prove. It proves the function. With 7 all-terrain driving modes. Engineered for driving confidence,
every day. Discover the JQ7 for yourself. Find your closest JQ dealership online. Specification may vary. Range based on WLTP data, dependent on individual driving conditions.
So, close your eyes, picture the scene. Just you and me, alone, enjoying breakfast on our own little island. Sounds perfect, right?
Yeah.
Great, because I've booked Wix to design our new kitchen.
At Wix, we have 70 kitchen styles to choose from, with prices from under £3,000 to over £20,000. And with our Spend and Save offer, there's up to 50% off kitchen units. Book a free design appointment and feel as proud as a peacock with Wix. Terms and minimum spend apply.
The king has ordered by royal decree that all windows, doors and conservatories across the land shall be installed by Castle Windows Newbury. For a small sum, you shall receive energy-efficient, secure, beautiful triple-glazed windows, noble doors and warm roof extensions. Buy now, pay next year. CastleWindowsNewbury.co.uk.
For windows, doors, conservatories, it's Castle Windows Newbury.
Your home is your castle.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
8:33. Going to be speaking to a former police officer, actually, gosh, more than three decades in the job, who is not agreeing with me on my stance on fair dodging. Look forward to speaking with you, Richard. But hopefully, as someone who is in Law and Order, you'll be wanting to listen to the report as much as everyone else, because children as young as 14 are believed to be selling knives to other youngsters using apps such as Snapchat. LBC has learned, and indeed you've heard part of this already on the LBC News Bulletin. Now, this comes after we revealed the number of children bringing a blade into school has jumped a staggering 60%, and that's in just 2 years. LBC's crime correspondent Andy Hughes joined Metropolitan Police as they arrested two teenagers suspected of using the social media platform to sell knives. Andy filed this report.
They'd be selling stuff, like selling knives and that, like kids be buying stuff, like they'd be going and buying knives and the parents don't even be knowing about it.
An unprecedented number of kids are carrying knives into schools. And for 18-year-old gang member Moses, it's clear how they're getting hold of them.
Parents should be checking phones and stuff to see like what their kids are doing. Most kids, where they get their knives from is online.
It's something the country's biggest police force is clamping down on.
It's an ongoing operation in the Met Police. Effectively, it's targeting individuals behind the marketing and supply of prohibited offensive weapons on online platforms, i.e. social media. A Snapchat user has been identified, the username of K6KK25, believed to be selling prohibited offensive weapons online, arranging collections in the Kilburn area of London.
The Met have invited us to follow its specialist knife crime unit. They're on their way to a raid on a property in northwest London. The officers say the suspects have been selling zombie knives and machetes to other kids on Snapchat.
Hello, it's the police. Can you come to the door?
So they've just started beginning to search the house. Now these kids are only 14 and 16, the suspects, and they're believed to have sold hundreds of knives across the country. Zombie knives, deadly knives. And we're here so early because it's before the school run. They need to catch them before they go to school.
This is DCI James Tipple.
We've been investigating social media accounts that sell knives. By doing that, they can bypass all the security legislation that prevents them from selling to children. So we look at identifying those people who sell prohibited and dangerous weapons.
A lot of these knives are ending up in the hands of children, aren't they?
They are, and that's why we're taking action against these sellers.
I've seen some of these accounts myself. You just open Snapchat and if you type in certain words or certain letters, all these things pop up. It's pretty rife, isn't it?
If you're in the right circles, they are visible to you, and if you're in the right areas. So children can access them and children can buy them.
And his team soon uncover some of the weapons they suspected.
I found in 14, 16-year-old's bedroom, and mum's give them to us to destroy.
Okay.
Because they're completely legal. Mum didn't know they were in the house, so that's why she's given them up and given them to us to destroy.
So what's the outcome of this case?
The phone was found in the address. The phone linked to the Snapchat account. So we're going to take two people from the address down for questioning about that item.
Social media is fueling the sale of knives by kids to other kids. The question is, will the government mount pressure on companies like Snapchat to tighten their rules? And what will the police do if they don't?
Andy Hughes reporting for LBC Now. A spokesperson for Snapchat says, using Snapchat for the sale of weapons, including knives, is against our rules. If we find this content either through our proactive detection or if it is reported to us, we quickly remove it and take appropriate action against the account. We also regularly work with law enforcement to support their investigations. That closes the comment. Now you can watch Andy's full investigation, The Knife Crime Generation, on the all-new LBC app. You'll see some harrowing conversations with gang members, teenagers, and those on the front line of tackling this growing crime wave across the whole of Britain. That's on the new LBC app, 8:37. Well, we're talking crime fighting, so how appropriate to bring in Richard in Maidstone. Thank you for hanging on the line, sir. And you've had several, well, many, many years experience in the job. Morning to you.
Good morning, Nick. We've spoken many times before. You'll recall I was the police officer that managed to get himself tasered. And you normally laugh.
I'm not laughing, I'm crying. There were tears when you told me that.
I remember
the story, mate. How are you today? Yeah. How's Mason? How's the Garden of Kent? Is everything under control down there?
It's very well. I'm on my way down to Margate at the moment. It's very nice.
What are you going to do there? A bit of fishing? Take Tracy Emin out for lunch? What are you going to do?
No, I work in the court system.
Oh, do
now
you?
Upon retirement, yeah.
Are you a court officer?
No, I'm a magistrate.
Oh, you're a magistrate? Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you enjoy it?
I do. It's incredibly rewarding, and I would encourage it.
Okay.
Others to do
so
it.
Do you
it
really sit is. As one of three, or can you sit on your own?
One of three. You can go down to two, but it's not desirable.
I mean, on a typical day, what is it? Speeding drivers, things like that? What comes before you? Or a whole panoply of cases comes before you?
No, even... all matters that go to the Crown Court must go via a magistrate.
That guy
this morning in Liverpool is appearing at a magistrate's court.
He starts in magistrates and it gets referred up. Of course it does. Yeah, you're right.
Yes.
Well, have a good day down there. And thank you for the work you do on behalf of the community down in Kent, which, of course, is the county of my birth. Now, let's put you back on the beat. You're not happy with what I'm saying, are you?
No, I agree with Graham Wetton, and I agree emphatically with him. Now everyone...
Sorry, just to explain, someone joining. Sorry, Graham Wetton is a former police officer who's become a policing commentator. He told LBC that he doesn't hold with what Robert Jenrick did because there should have been a risk assessment. Mr Jenrick was putting himself at harm's way, and he should have gone out with a TfL squad specially designed to tackle this problem. Richard, back to you.
I know where you're coming from, because Graham would have gone on to say, had there been a risk assessment, he wouldn't have done what he was doing. He didn't have PPE, he wasn't properly protected, he was taking on the great unknown without any powers. Now, one of these guys said to him, I've got a knife, and I don't recall the punchline. It was something like, I could stab you or something.
Yes, it wasn't, I'm going to mess you or wreck you, I think was the word. He was wrecking.
And basically he's offering to stab Mr. Jenrick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, where's the protection if that guy had meant it?
Certainly there's a camera operator, Richard. I don't know whether he had a rest of a crew, but go on with the point you're making. Yeah.
But Graham and I would go out into public order or public disorder as what are called intelligence gathering officers, and we would go out in pairs, and sometimes I would be working with Graham. I know Graham very well.
Oh, right, but okay.
We would go out into quite violent situations, and we're reporting back.
Yep.
To what's called GT, which is the control room, reporting back the mood, where these people are going, who the main organisers are, any sightings of people that we think are of special interest to us. We'd have known people. And you must do a risk assessment as you go. You're walking around permanently updating, am I safe here? Where's my escape route? And all that is, Nick, is a risk assessment. That's a dynamic risk assessment, and we all do it. If you go and confront a burglar at 3 o'clock tomorrow morning, believe me, as you're walking down the stairs, you'll be thinking, what the bloody hell happens if this goes wrong?
No,
and
right.
That's you doing a dynamic risk assessment.
But,
and you might think,
why would you want to stop a politician highlighting this problem, Richard? Because your whole life has been about law enforcement and looking after people.
And it still is, yes.
Okay, and I was going to say, and you do that now, and you ensure that people who break the law are dealt with accordingly. But why would you not want to support this MP highlighting this issue?
No, that's not what's
being
said.
Like you. You're a good bloke. And please, but this is the computer says no mentality. No, you can't.
No, that's not what's being said. No one is saying that people shouldn't flag up issues. That's a politician's job. But he put himself in harm's way yesterday.
Right.
He just simply did. If it had gone wrong, you guys in the media this morning would be saying, What the hell was... What was he thinking?
Well, no, I'd be having enormous sympathy for him and wishing him a speedy recovery. I wouldn't be criticising him. I'd be lauding his bravery. But we don't want anyone being hurt. Lastly, and if you don't want to go there, tell me, we were talking about people in the job yesterday who decided to tackle a 92-year-old one-legged man with a pepper spray and a taser. You might not want to comment on the activities of other officers, but did you have a view on that?
I did, and I was talking about it to my wife last night, and she said, what were they thinking doing that? And I said, you don't know the circumstances. No. If he, hang on. If he is threatening to throw a knife at me...
It's a butter knife. You've got a stab
I didn't
vest,
know that.
Richard.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
Okay.
I would suggest there are better ways of tackling a 92-year-old handicapped
There
person.
Speaks a justice of the peace. I would suggest there are...
A bunch of flowers would probably help.
Have a good day down in court. Thanks for the work you did. Thanks for the work you do. If ever I get Nick speeding, I think I want to be in Margate. Because I'd come in front of Richard, but unfortunately he'd have to declare an interest and he'd have to excuse himself. But it would be worth a try. Not that you could ever, of course, suggest that Richard would do that. Look after yourself, Sport. 8:42. Chris in Benfleet. Now, this is the other side of the coin, the other side of the barrier. You worked for a transport service, did you? Good morning.
Yeah, I worked for Transport for Greater Manchester.
Right. Well, how big a problem was it in the city of Manchester?
Massive.
Is it?
Mm. Yeah, it's, and this is, you're talking 15 years ago.
Right, OK. Pardon my ignorance, same system. They just dodge through barriers, do they?
Yeah, they're just on the metro, don't buy a ticket. On the buses, don't buy a ticket. And then, we have to deal then with the antisocial behaviour.
So tell me some of the situations you encountered.
Well, we had a group of about 20 kids that would get on the trams, travel all over Manchester, not pay for their fares.
Mm-hmm.
Create, absolute mega antisocial behaviour, breaking windows, damaging cars. And then, although we got CCTV, body cams, we control the situation, but then you have to deal with the British Transport Police, the council, because you have to try and get ASBOs on them. And it takes years. I mean, those kids with 500 incidents. It's just uncontrollable. You just can't control it.
Well, okay, so how many years did you do that?
I did that for 13 years.
Did you ever think of what was needed or what would have made it easier for you to enforce the regulations?
I think at the end of the day, you just need more British Transport Police, more police. I mean, governments change laws all the time. We talk with the shoplifting, where they've said, you do a shoplifting, it's not a crime.
Mm.
So you then put it onto where people are. You've got people with morals that do things, and you've got people that don't.
Yeah. What do you do now? Are you retired?
Yes, certainly retired now.
All right, you don't need those days anymore, do you? Chris, thank you. I wonder, actually, there is probably a connection, isn't there? Because this relaxed attitude towards people flagrantly breaking the law, not paying their fare. And let's face it, that same person who's just barged through the Manchester Metro or the London Underground will now probably go into a sandwich shop or a supermarket, nick a pork pie and a fizzy drink and a packet of crisps and just walk out brazenly and nothing will happen. And it does feed itself, isn't it? There's a very troubling cycle of lawlessness here. All right, I know it's lower level and you could say don't sweat the small stuff, but it is the broken window, isn't it? Thank you again, Chris. Let's get a couple of these in. Neil in Hornsey, I've lived in London for years. I'm regularly fuming at the fact so many people avoid fares. And more to the point, TfL don't pursue those who do. Even the ticket inspectors aren't proactive. Someone needs to tackle this widespread problem. And the fact is never revealed. I agree with you, but how are you going to do it? Christopher Glasgow or Christopher in Glasgow. Cheating by not paying for a ticket is shoplifting. It's the same mindset. A deterrent could be an increase in income tax for a short time. What their income? They might not have an income. Dan says, discourage people by removing their benefits. Their decisions must have consequences to deter them. Yes, but then you're going to have to be even tougher when you stop them, because if someone thinks they're going to have their benefits stopped, they're not just going to stop when you say, hey, pay your fare. They're going to take off and possibly increase the level of violence. Coming up in the next hour...
Do you connect more with London than England? If
London.
Someone was, you'd say London?
Yeah.
And the people who say England will say, what about Winston Churchill and Land of Hope and Glory? What do you say to that?
Oh, that's ancient.
This is a report suggests multicultural Londoners feel little love for England, but they have an affinity to their city, to London. We'll have a full report in the next hour. It's just at 8:46, LBC News headlines, read by Thomas Watts.
The suspect in the crash at the Premier League trophy parade in Liverpool is due to appear in court this morning. LBC has learned children as young as 14 could be selling knives on social media platforms like Snapchat. And Hamas is expected to reject the White House's latest plan for a ceasefire deal in Gaza. LBC weather, cloudy with rain for many places this morning, a high of 25 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays again this morning on the M2 westbound up to Junction 2 at the A228. It's because of those emergency bridge works. The western stretch of the M25, very busy clockwise from Junctions 14 at Heathrow to 16 at the M40. And that was after an accident that happened earlier. All the lanes are back open, but it's still very slow. Still no Woolwich Ferry able to run. That's because of an ongoing technical problem. And on the underground, there's no service on the Hammersmith and City line between Barking and Liverpool Street. And then there are severe delays on the rest of the line. It's all down to a track problem West Ham, which also means the District Line can't run between East Ham and Whitechapel. And there's also severe delays on the rest of that line as well. And also on the underground, Temple Station is closed.
This is LBC.
With Little Plus Fruity Super Spin, simply shop and spin to win a free fresh fruit coupon with every shop. Download the Little Plus app to get by switching to the Retail Industry Awards Fresh Produce Retailer of the Year. 18 plus GB residents, various prizes available, subject to availability. Ends 4th of the 6/25. Full T's and C's apply. See little.co.uk/spin.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. This is LBC.
It's your home, darling. Let's make it fabulous. High scoring isn't my forte, but there's no arguing with Trustpilot ratings. Shotterly Fabulous have an expert team of fitters who specialise in one thing, simply gorgeous window shutters. Made to measure, hand-finished and expertly installed. Make your home Shutterly Fabulous. So don't dither, darling. Book a free consultation with our expert shutter fitters today.
The countdown to summer is on. But how would you spend it if you won £10,000? A tropical holiday? A luxury cruise? A garden glow-up? With £10,000, you could get summer ready in no time. Enter now at winplus.co.uk. Winplus. Great prizes. Real winners. 18 plus GB only. T's and C's apply.
Car owners, you could be owed thousands in compensation. If you bought a car on finance from 2007 onwards, it may have been sold with hidden commissions. Text CLAIM to 86688. My Claim Group. Authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. You don't need to use a CMC. You can claim direct to your lender and the Financial Ombudsman for free. Text CLAIM to 86688.
Claims made simple.
The best family time is family holiday time. And with EasyJet Holidays, brilliant summer package holidays start from just £299 per person, with millions of free kids' places available. Search EasyJet Holidays. Get out there. Price based on 2 adults for 5 nights, limited availability, 1 free child place for every 2 full paying adults sharing, adult protected, T's and C's apply.
Tonight's EuroMillions jackpot is £185 million. Pounds.
I think that deserves a whoop whoop. Thank you, faraway person. Get in tonight's Euro Millions draw. Play on app.
Subject to currency fluctuations, the jackpot is capped at €250 million. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Listen on your smart speaker. Just say, play LBC.
Coming up on 10 to 9, we're off to France in a moment. Vive la différence for many of you, but there's going to be a change. There's an end of French resistance to a certain idea. I'll tell you what it is in a moment, but I want to get Dave in Barking. Actually, we're talking about France. You want to talk about other countries and what they do regarding fare dodging. What's the point you want to make? Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Nick. A week before Easter, I took some friends for a long weekend to Rome. They'd never been there before.
Lovely city.
Fantastic place. It's my 50th time going to Rome.
50?
Yeah, fantastic. I'll go.
What's your favourite part of Rome?
I love the Pantheon.
Yes, that's beautiful. That's the one with the hole in the roof.
And it's incredible, you know, and Santa Maria Maggiore is one of the most beautiful churches. I ain't got a religious bone in my body, but I'll go to all the churches, because you pick up the history there, you know?
And that's where, Via Condotti is there, isn't it? It's where all the swanky shops are for all the gloves
and everything. As you come down the Spanish steps.
That's
it. You get fined there if you sit on the steps.
Yeah. You get
fined. You're not allowed to sit on the steps anymore.
I didn't know that. And then Covent Garden is Campo di Fiore, isn't it? Where all the lovely restaurants
Campo di Fiore, yeah. We had lunch there on the Saturday. And then we went back on the Saturday evening, because it opens up then to like nightlife and nightclubs and bars.
And you have all the people standing in statues like Nessa out of Gavin
and
Stacey.
That's it, yeah.
Never been there. Right, so anyway...
Anyway, we're coming home on the Monday, right?
Yes, sir.
And what we've done, we bought Quattro Biglietti, like, for travel cards, right? Like,
sorry, you bought what?
Cards.
Sorry?
Quattro Biglietti. It's
a four-day
travel card.
Yes, okay, but yes.
It's all around the train system, the buses, everything. Scotland.
Yep.
And we asked, would they get us back to the airport?
Yep.
And they both said, yes, no problem. And that's what we wanted. So we didn't have to mess about and getting train tickets on the Monday.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got to Termini Station, picked up our sort of like overnight luggage from Stories, got onto the train, got through the barrier with the tickets, which is fine. Sat on the train's pulling out, and a young girl come along, she's a ticket inspector, and she had like, biglietta, per favore, like, you know. So my friend said, what's that? So I said, tickets, get your tickets out, I want to see your tickets. And then she felt like, no, it was English. I've probably heard us talking. And she said to my friend's partner, who was the first one to get inspected, this ticket's not good.
Uh-oh.
So I said, excuse me. When we bought the tickets, I did ask about this going to the airport. And we told yes. No, she said, it's only for in C.
Right.
Buy another ticket. I said, well, it lets through the barrier.
Yes.
And she said, yeah, any ticket lets through the barrier. So she said, so my mate said, okay, can we buy...
So ultimately what happened? How much did it cost you?
100 euros.
What?
Fine.
100 euros? So they didn't even cut you some slack?
No.
You're going to go back
euros.
To Rome?
Sorry?
Would you go back to Rome?
Oh, I'll go back tonight.
Okay. Well, remember, when in Rome, it's probably best to pay the right fare. But totally different policy there is the point you want to make. Dave, happy landings next time you go. Thank you. I have to get a move on because we're going from Rome. We're going... Well, imagine, it is Le Weekend. You're over just across the channel. That is a different style of life. It's more like a nightclub than a bistro. Who chose this? I want it upbeat. You don't listen to this in a bistro. You sit there with a copy of Le Figaro, you have a café au lait, you perhaps have a croissant, a pain au raisin, and, if you are so minded, you might light up a cigarette. But, uh-oh, that could all be in the past. LBC's report in Paris, Peter Allen, with the latest. A crackdown on smoking in France. The yellow jackets will be out again, won't they, Peter? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. From July the 1st, you will not be allowed to strike up Gitan or Gaulois. In many parts of France, you'll face a €135 fine. That's equivalent of about £115. But I have to say, you'll be all right on a cafe terrace.
Ah.
That is exempt from this new law. So you can do what generations of French people can do, including all the film stars, Brigitte Bardot and the like, and actually sit in a cafe terrace here in Paris or anywhere else and still smoke. So that is the big exception. But other places, beaches, bus stops, parks, and the like, you will be banned. Catherine Vautrin, the health minister here, she says where there are children, tobacco must disappear.
And yet you rightly say, Peter, if I ask my listeners, indeed as you did a word picture for me there is the French man or the French woman, probably if it's the woman's case, very stylishly dressed. If it's the man, he's got a beret. But there is a cigarette from the lips, isn't there?
There is. It's all part of the French look. A beret, a stripy top, string of onions around the neck, and a cigarette at the mouth. So it is. It's something that has been a huge part of French culture, certainly since the Second World War, the new modern France, the new cinematic France, if you like. So this is really a huge social development. The actual smoking ban within restaurants and cafes and the like came in back in 2007, before that thick black smoke everywhere you went. It was extraordinary.
And will there be any opposition, lastly, Peter, do you think, or will people, if it's above the children, if it's for people's safety, if it's preventing early deaths, broadly, people in France will say oui, d'accord.
Exactly. There's not a great deal of opposition nowadays. The facts speak for themselves, Nick. 75,000 tobacco-related deaths every year. 80% of the public support these bans, they say. But there will be some, of course, who say that if you're on a beach, for example, why shouldn't you be able to smoke on a beach? That's not going to affect anybody, is it?
You're right. Life's a beach at times. Peter Allen, LBC's reporter in Paris. Thank you for that. Now, just on the subject of smoking or vaping, remember, disposable vapes are outlawed from this Sunday. So if you are a vapor, you better get vaping if you've got a lot of them. Is that a move forward, as we hear that? France, obviously, this is tobacco. It is a very different world. And one has to say, much as I love the country, they would seem to be a little bit behind. And not all. Spain, by the way, hasn't changed. But a lot of mainland Europe has changed. But we'll look at that vaping ban in the UK in the next hour. Peter Allen, thank you for your report. 4 to 9. Let's start to move towards the end of this hour by events here in the UK, particularly in London. The fare dodging is highlighted by a prominent Conservative MP, Robert Jenrick. Now, John's in Harrow. Thank you for calling in. You work for TfL. Is that right, John? Good morning.
Yes, that is correct.
What is the, precisely, if I may ask, what's the job you actually do?
I'm actually on the gate line, so I'm actually first-hand.
What are your instructions? If I push through the gate at the Embankment or Waterloo later today, what are your instructions?
Basically, to actually report it, but not interfere or intervene, quite simply and frankly, because of health and safety and the potential of conflict, if there's a confrontation and the violence that could actually prevail. So basically, it's very, very frustrating, but we're not allowed to have any form of confrontation. If we do, then there's potential disciplinary action and potentially a sacking if we were to actually do.
I don't expect you to name the station, but are you at one of the busier stations, John?
Yes.
On an average day, if you're on a day shift, how many people an hour or a day would you see dodge the fares?
Hundreds a day. The problem is endemic, yeah, and basically it's spreading where people actually seeing other people actually do it. And from all walks of life, you've got people who're suited and booted, you've got young children, etc. In one particular station I actually worked, you had basically half the school, literally like 300-400 children actually push through, quite simply and frankly, because...
Will you tell me which stop that is? You don't have to, but can I ask?
I'd rather not.
Okay, sir, I respect
but,
that.
But the problem is endemic. My issue is the fact that we're living more and more in a lawless society, and that's where it's actually starting, where someone can actually think they can actually get away with it, and there's no recourse. They're moving on to actually bigger crimes. So now we're seeing from the gate, pushing, now we're seeing people actually walking into the shops and actually picking up stuff and walking away. Quite simply and frankly, they feel that there's actually no recourse, there's going to be nothing actually being done. And that's what they're actually doing. The crime is actually now moving upwards.
Let me ask you touched on this, John, last year. You and your colleagues, as you watch this happen, can you give me an idea of how frustrated or how angry you feel about this?
Extremely, extremely frustrated. And I have actually not followed procedure, and I have actually chased down some, I've actually confronted, etc., etc. And I have actually been chased down, so I've been threatened, chased. In fact, on one occasion, I was actually, it was quite life-threatening kind of situations.
Mate, it's not worth it, John. For the love of God, don't risk your life for it.
But when you see it day in, day out, and sometimes the frustration is when they come up to you, they smile in your face, they smile, yeah, and they actually then push through as in, like, you have not recourse, you cannot do anything to me.
How long have you done this job? How many years have you done this job?
I've been there for 5 years, and it's actually got worse. It's got worse.
Would you consider asking to move to a different area, lastly, if TfL, as a result of this? You'll go behind the, I don't know, behind the scenes or something like that, go down to the platforms?
I have actually moved myself to a station that's a lot quieter.
Well, you look after yourself, John. Thank you for the work you do. I would dream of telling you how to live your life, but I honestly, it's not worth you and your family losing you or your friends losing you for the sake of an oyster fare. It really is. Look after yourself. Thank you. Music means we move on. Coming up, a report that says multicultural Londoners, they might love the city, they have little love for England. Our man Henry Riley took to the streets of Newham in East London to find out more.
When you think of England, what do you think of? Is it like David Beckham's right foot, for example, or Harry Potter?
I think David Beckham, Harry Potter.
Jerusalem, Land of Hope and Glory.
I'm not too familiar with those ones.
That puzzled him, bringing Jerusalem into the conversation. A full report, plus a high number of people who have ADHD but have not been diagnosed. All after the 9 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, LBC has learned that children as young as 14 are being investigated over the sale of knives on social media. Police say the weapons are being sold to other young people on apps like Snapchat. LBC's Andy Hughes joined officers as they searched a property in London.
I found in 14, 16-year-old's bedroom, and mums give them to us to destroy.
Okay.
Because they're completely legal. Mum didn't know they're in the house, so that's why she's given them up and given them to us to destroy.
Snapchat says it removes illegal content and works with law enforcement agencies. You can watch Andy's full special investigation, The Knife Crime Generation, on the LBC app now. A 53-year-old man is due to appear in court over the crash at Liverpool's trophy parade on Monday. Paul Doyle has been charged with 7 offences, including causing GBH with intent and dangerous driving. 79 people were injured, the youngest of whom was 9. Hamas is reportedly set to reject the White House's latest plan for a ceasefire in Gaza. The US says Israel has accepted the proposal, which includes a 60-day pause in fighting and the release of more hostages. Military analyst Major Andrew Fox has told LBC he's not surprised.
There's a huge amount of clear blue water between the two negotiating sides at the moment. Bottom line is Hamas wants to survive. That is a win for them in this war. The conditions that Israel is demanding are that Hamas removes itself from power and releases all their hostages, where the hostages are the only thing ensuring Hamas's survival. So we're in this wicked loop now.
President Trump's trade tariffs are to remain in force for now. Judges have agreed to pause a trade court's block on the import taxes ahead of a full appeal from the White House. The Treasury is understood to be preparing to sell its final shares in NatWest Group today. The government's stake in the bank, which was at more than 80% after the financial crisis, now stands at 0.1%. The bailout has cost taxpayers more than £10 billion. In the city, the FTSE 100 a short time ago was trading up 43 at 87.60. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.18. LBC weather. Cloudy with rain for many places, turning drier and brighter later. A high of 25 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watts.
Samantha?
Go on, reward yourself. Get £4 2D tickets at Cineworld when you book online using club card vouchers and visit between 27th of May and the 8th of June, celebrating 30 years of rewards with Tesco Club Card. Prices for standard 2D ticket, T's and C's apply. See tesco.com/cineworld.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, 4 minutes after nine on Friday, May the 30th. Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner that I love London so, but I have little love for England. That's if you're multicultural. We'll have a full report and then, most importantly, of course, take your views, particularly if you are multicultural, living in London or living in the rest of England. How come there's not the same affinity across the whole of the country? In other news, holy smoke, that disposable vape ban starts on the weekend, but what impact will it have? Do you actually owe the fact that you've given up the weed, the nicotine, the evil of tobacco because of your vaping? How concerned are you about Sunday? And as it is revealed, around 2.5 million of us have some form of ADHD, but only a third are diagnosed. Are you, someone you love, someone you know, labouring under a lack of diagnosis? Henry Shelford is the founder of ADHD UK, and he says...
There is a conversation, and that conversation is allowing people who've got ADHD to hear what it actually is and to go, wow, that's me.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 60 60 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Calling multicultural people across the width and breadth of our great nation. How in tune do with England, or of course if you're listening in Scotland or Wales, with Scotland or Wales or the United Kingdom, whichever you want to play, how in tune do you feel with this country? Or do you feel an affinity perhaps more with your local neighbourhood or, in London's case, with your city? Research, and we're going to hear more from the company that's involved in the research. Research shows that multicultural London, where obviously the highest number of these folk live because it is the most populated city in the country, I think it's nudging either side of 9 million, actually, London has a weak attachment to London, according to research done by YouGov. As I say, you'll hear from someone there in a moment. Data showing residents of London more likely to have strong feelings towards the city than their country. Why is that? Well, we'll have more on the background and the questions that were asked, but we decided to send LBC's reporter Henry Riley to a part of London where there is a high settlement of multicultural folk to find out what lay behind it. He joins me now. Henry.
Nick, the headline on today's Daily Telegraph is Multicultural Londoners Feel Little Love for England. That YouGov survey that you referenced published yesterday suggesting those in the capital are more likely to feel closer to London rather than the country as a whole. Those living in London had the weakest attachment to England compared with other areas. Just 29% said they had a very strong attachment to the country. However, nearly 4 in 10 Londoners said they had a very strong bond to the city itself. So I've come to Manor Park in the most diverse borough in London, Newham, to find out if that bears true. Do you connect more with London than England? You'd say London?
Yeah.
And the people who say England will say, what about Winston Churchill and Land of Hope and Glory? What do you say to that?
Oh, that's ancient.
I'd probably say I was from London quite quickly, but I wasn't born in London.
If someone says London to you, what comes into your head?
I'd probably think of up west and of all the big sites up west, if I'm honest. Even though I work in Elephant and Castle and have done for 37 years, it's very much about, you know, the centre of London and all the big sites in London.
England, what do you think of?
Yeah, I was a country I'm born. Was born in, I suppose.
And Jerusalem, Land of Hope and Glory.
Oh, no, don't even start me on that.
Well, I'm from London, but it's part of England, isn't it?
When someone says a London, what do you think of?
Multicultural. Yeah, absolutely, everyone's there. Yeah, so that's what I think of.
And would you apply that to England as a whole?
I think it depends on what region. Some part might not be multicultural compared to London, England. Well, compared to London.
Wait, when you think of England, what do you think of? Like, is it like David Beckham's right foot, for example, or Harry Potter?
I think David Beckham, Harry Potter.
Jerusalem, Land of Hope and Glory.
I'm not too familiar with those ones, but okay, definitely David Beckham.
Well, I'm an American, so...
Well, that's interesting. As an American, though, what do you think of when you think of London?
It's one of those places. It's one of the key places in my mind.
What do you think of, lastly, when you think of England, not London? Is it like Churchill? Land of Hope and Glory? Fish and chips?
Very traditional. You know, I enjoy living here.
Nick, the polling also suggested that nearly a third of those in London think it's the worst place to live in the UK by either a little or a lot.
LBC's Henry Riley reporting from Manor Park in Newham. Well, we've referenced the polling. Let's come now to Patrick English, who's Director of Political Analytics at YouGov. They did the research and joins me now. Good to have you on, Patrick, if I might call you that. So what turned you on to this? Why did you and your colleagues decide to do this polling? Morning.
Good morning, Nicky. Absolutely. You may call me Patrick, of course. Well, this it's always interesting, isn't it, to look into regional identities. We've been looking at elections across the world recently in places like Canada, Australia, of course, the US, where there are some really strong regional identities. And we thought, well, why not check in with the British public and listen to how they're feeling about where they live and in relation to their sort of communities, their regions and the country as a whole. So we thought it'd be really nice to do this and publish it, and we're pleased that everyone's really enjoying the results and talking about it.
I want to talk to you more about London in a moment, Patrick. Can you give us, I'm reading the copy in the newspaper, give us some more of the regional variations that you found, such as the South West and Wales and other parts of the country.
Yeah, it's fascinating. So we were asking people how attached they feel to their region and how attached they feel to the country. And perhaps unsurprisingly, places like Scotland and Wales feel very strongly in terms of their regional identity. And areas such as London, the East Midlands, the East of England, comparatively simply don't. And then in the middle, there's a pack southwest of England, a little bit the southeast of England too, where people kind of have a bit of a regional connection, but not so much. I imagine, particularly in the southwest, if we delve deeper into sort of the counties, looked at Cornwall, for instance, versus Devon, we'd find even more stark contrasts there. So, yeah, you can put a map up, pin a map, and the sort of places you'd think would have strong regional identity, strong connections to their local communities, probably do, and some surprising candidates, perhaps, of those that don't.
Take us to the northeast of England. Quite strong up there, isn't it, Patrick?
Yeah, indeed, we had 48%.
Are we talking Newcastle and Sunderland, Middlesbrough, towns like that? Is that cities
yes,
like that?
Exactly. That's exactly where we're talking about, Newcastle, Sunderland. This was actually the highest region, sort of in terms of feeling the strongest identity in England to their regional area. And if we think about places like Newcastle, like Sunderland, the big football teams there, it's not hard to imagine really how the people there would feel such a strong connection to where they're from, and the accent even indeed is a distinctive thing. So I think that was a very interesting finding.
I don't want to drag you or let you stray in the political arena too much, Patrick. So are we an island of strangers?
I knew you were going to ask that question.
You've been listening for too long, sir.
And certainly for Keir Starmer might look at these results and perhaps align a little bit with his speech from the other day. Look, I think it certainly is the case that the multiculturalism finding, as you've been highlighting this morning, is very interesting. London feeling much more connected to itself, and the thing when we ask them to name something unique or something that sort of popped to mind about their regional identity, a lot of it was about multiculturalism and this idea that, you know, London is does feel quite different, I think, to the rest of England. I'm up in Sheffield at the minute, and Certainly we think of London as a very different place to...
You want to know what you think we think of Sheffield, mate, but we'll park that one there. Don't
Absolutely.
You worry about that. Okay, coming to the end of our chat, does it matter?
I think it certainly does matter. I think, and to go back to the political arena, one of the most important things in politics right now, British politics, is the electoral geography of party support. In 2024, we saw the Conservatives collapsing all around the country, really, but it was different parties who were benefited from that in different ways. And Liberal Democrats much more in the south, Reform UK across the east, and Labour in the Midlands and the north. And I think that plays into what we're seeing here. These different areas of the country, they do have different identities. They do think about things in slightly different ways. And the way they think about themselves in relation to their own communities, their areas, and then the country, I think is very closely tied into the political scene right now and the political geography of British politics.
Lastly, Patrick, what should policymakers take from this, whether it's central government, whether it's local government, whether it's tiny boroughs and parish councils? What should they take from this research from YouGov?
Well, I'll certainly leave the interpretation of specific policies on bin collections to those for whom it matters. But I would say that what these results might highlight is a growing sense, and Luke Trill has been commenting on this recently, that some people up and down the country are feeling quite disconnected from their communities and are feeling like things aren't quite as close-knit and connected perhaps as they used to be. And that's probably leaning into this sense of sort of identities here and there, communities, spirit, building back up this sense of a wider community where people can have sort of pride in their local area, sort of avoiding the degradation of high streets, maybe something that they could look into and look into these results and see where that might be needed most.
Patrick English, thank you for your time. You're Director of Political Analytics at YouGov. You've conducted this research. Let's pick up on some of the social media. This one, I don't know why, but you don't want to give me a name. I'm a Scot and I live in Kent. I feel Scottish and I feel British, but no affinity with England per se. Kent, however, and I love it. This comes in from Jarrow. Multicultural Londoners. Why does that mean? Why don't you just say Londoners? Leanna's furious with me. Be careful. Sheffield is amazing. It has the highest retention of students in the whole of the UK. It is an amazing city. It's worth pointing out, I mentioned the island of strangers, which of course was the language employed a couple of weeks ago by Sir Keir Starmer. And I need to say that Sir Sadiq Khan, who, just to remind you, is the Labour mayor of London, distanced himself from those speeches, saying he wouldn't use those sort of words, or aren't words that I would use. He's also made a great virtue of that, championed the fact that multiculturalism is so important in this city. And the research carried out does bear that out. But if you are from a different country, born elsewhere, but you were raised here, particularly in London, why is it you have an affinity with the city but not with the country? And how important are those regional variations? Or are we actually an island of strangers? Sarah, by the way, asks, why are you asking about Jerusalem? Why are you causing such division? Sarah, and did those feet in ancient times? 9:15, LBC News headlines. Thomas Watts.
LBC has learned that children as young as 14 are being investigated over knife sales on social media platforms. A man's due to appear in court accused of driving a car into a crowd at Liverpool's Premier League trophy parade on Monday. The latest proposal from the White House for a ceasefire in Gaza is reportedly set to be rejected by Hamas. LBC weather, cloudy with rain for many this morning, then turning drier and brighter. A high of 25 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays continue on the M2 westbound, junction 2 at the A228. The exit slip road remains closed and two lanes are closed on the main carriageway. It's because of those emergency repair works. Very busy on the M25 in both directions between junctions 15 at the M4 and 16 at the A40. Also, delays continue northbound over Battersea Bridge. It's because of the closure of Albert Bridge. In East Ham, High Street North is closed in both directions and that's because of a fire. In Romford, very busy on Pettis Lane going southbound because of the emergency works. And still no Woolwich Ferry. The service is suspended because of a technical problem. And the District and Hammersmith and City lines remain at part suspended.
This is LBC.
Sun's out, fun's out. At Tesco Mobile, our deals will help you get the most out of summer. Get the iPhone 16 Pro Max with unlimited data for just £54.99 a month with club card prices, saving you £207. And you'll collect club card points too. How you choose to spend them is up to you. It pays to be connected. Search Tesco Mobile. Every little helps. Ends 13th of July, 16.74. Club card and 36-month credit agreement required. Collect 1 point for every £1 spent. Minimum 150 points required for club card vouchers. See tescomobile.com/terms.
This is LBC. Listen on Global Player or the new LBC app. Download it from your app store now.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
The Virgin Atlantic holiday sale is now on. This is your sign to taste Jamaican jerk chicken so good it brings a tear to your eye. Catch a New York basement gig worth the 10-block detour. Or hit the dunes in Dubai and find sand in your pockets for weeks. Seize the sale. Book in-store or online at Virgin Atlantic Holidays. Selected routes. For T's and C's, visit virginatlantic.com.
Music, news, celebrities, socials, entertainment, podcasts, video. The world of media and entertainment is a world we all turn to every second that we can. And university isn't for everyone. So, if you're leaving school, take a look at joining Global Academy in year 14 to take a unique course in creative enterprise and kickstart your media career. Get industry experience, develop your entrepreneurial skills, and it's free. Apply now at globalacademy.com.
With Little Plus Fruity Super Spin, simply shop and spin to win a free fresh fruit coupon with every shop. Download the Little Plus app to get by switching to the Retail Industry Awards Fresh Produce Retailer of the Year. 18 plus GB residents, various prizes available, subject to availability. Ends 4th of the 6th, 25. Full T's and C's apply. See little.co.uk/spin.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Maybe it is because I'm a Londoner that I love London so, but I ain't got that much feeling for England. David's in Edinburgh. Let's start there. Good morning, David.
Hi, good morning, Nick. Great show, great broadcaster. I was born in London. I was born in Harrow, to be exact.
Right.
My mother stayed in St John's Wood till I was about 4 or 5, and then we came up to Scotland.
So was your mother the Scottish then?
My mother was Scots.
You were Scottish, I see. Yeah.
And I love London because I've been going to London for, well, I'm 75. I've been going to London since I was about 19.
Right. Okay.
Because I have relations down there who are now dead.
Right.
And I know London inside out, and it's a fantastic city. But I haven't been in London since the pandemic. And every time there's a news thing comes on, people, they say it's frightening, you can't go into the West End.
That's nonsense.
And I used to love to go into Fortnum and Mason.
You can go into the West End. I go into the West End.
I'm sure you can.
Yeah.
But you hear these things and you say, because I want to go back down, because London is my second home.
Yeah.
And I love it. And I used to get on the Portobello Road.
Yep.
Then I would go up to Islington. It's a fantastic...
So let me ask you... Excuse me. I do apologize. So let me ask you this, David. Are you a Londoner? Are you an Edinburghian, whatever you are? Are you a Scot? Are you a Brit? What are you first?
Well, what I am is I'm a Londoner with a Scots accent.
So you consider yourself... So if push came to shove, you're a Londoner first, more than a Scot... Well, you're not Scottish, but more than you are a Brit.
Well, I'm just taking I'm a Londoner because that's my birthplace, London. But I've lived in Scotland all my life since I was about 5.
Mm.
And I'm also Scottish, and I love Edinburgh. Edinburgh is...
So when England plays Scotland at football, you're pulling for which team?
I'm not a football fan at all.
All
I'm
right,
not
rugby.
Into it. Not even rugby. But
okay,
can I
netball,
say
that? That well-known netball championship that England plays Scotland at.
No, I know nothing about that, Nick. But, Nick, can I say one thing to you?
Yes, sir.
Samuel Johnson, does that mean anything to you?
Yes, and exactly. Yes, right. I know exactly. Yes.
And, right. In
great chronicler of events. Yep.
That was his friend, right? And Boswell said one day in a tavern before they were called pubs, he said, you know something? He said, I'm fed up with London. And Samuel Johnson said,
if you're fed up with
London.
Very famous,
if you're tired of London, you're tired of life.
And that'll do it. I think that's fantastic. Back to those days. David, thank you. Look after yourself up in Edinburgh. Come and see us again soon. I can't believe you've not been down since COVID. What's that, 2020, the country was shut down. It went on for a year or so. Where are we, 2020? It's about 3.5 years. You need to come back, man. Jamie's in Wolverhampton. Jamie, you're on the radio. Do you feel it, English? British?
Morning,
what are you?
Nick.
Good morning.
Mixed race, British.
Okay.
Now, my job is in the service industry,
yep.
Water hygiene. I've actually visited every city in England.
You visited every city in England?
Every city. My work takes me everywhere across
Daventry.
All industries. Sorry?
Daventry.
Yes. Daventry. My work takes me everywhere. I get talking to a lot of different people. And the one thing that you see is that the attitude is vastly different once you leave London. And the reason for that is everyone recognises the same issue for me, which is...
Go on, what's the same issue?
It's the wealth distribution across this country. Everything in our economy has to get shoehorned through London. We have major projects like HS2, the Northern Leg's now completely cut off, but the link to London is still there.
Mm.
Crossrail, again, you know, massively over budget, just
yes.
The same as HS2, but it did get finished. Why?
Well, for those who would say London and the South East powers the rest of the national economy, how would you respond?
I love that argument. I love that, because, of course it does. And the reason
and
for that
if,
is...
If we spun London and the M25 off... We would be just behind Monaco per capita, and we wouldn't have to worry about people in Wolverhampton. What, pardon? We wouldn't have to worry about the rest of the country. Jamie?
Yes, but the idea is, if you invest in your largest economy because you get a greater return, it will always be your larger economy.
Right.
Now, we can go back to the 50s and 60s, where you had a city like Birmingham, which was actually forecast to outgrow London. And you can look this up. You can Google search.
I've never heard that before, but I'll believe you.
Don't believe me.
Google. No, I said I've not, but I believe... No, I didn't say... I hadn't heard that, but I will believe you. Yes, sir, go ahead.
My point is that everything... London always has to come out on top, and...
Well, it's because it's paying for everything.
Of course it pays for everything.
Yeah, well, we should be on top.
The reason why it's paying for everything is because we put everything through London. Our large corporations, they're all based in London. They'll have outlets everywhere around the country, but they're based in London.
Well, that's because you can get in and out quickly, and it's nice.
But the point is really that if we want to see less disparity in wealth across this country, and effectively we need to treat London not as this sort of special crown jewel. Where,
but it is the crown jewel.
It's the crown jewel because
Where would England, where would Britain be without London? It'd be absolutely a basket case.
We'd be a lot better off, actually.
You wouldn't financially. I mean, you could argue we have our problems down here.
Cities around the country would be more equally divided in terms of funding.
And the money that's been poured in... I sometimes go to Manchester and I've been through other northern cities. The money that's been poured into Manchester and Leeds is phenomenal, Jamie, lastly, on this. Phenomenal.
And still, it's nothing close to London.
All right. Look after yourself. Thank you. The delights of the Black Country in Wolverhampton. We'll take more calls on that. But I have mentioned this story, and we do need to get to it, because I apologise, I've had someone holding on the line on this, and I need to move. Do you think you have ADHD, or someone you love or know has? More than 800,000 people in England, I'm sorry, I don't have the UK figure, in England have been formally diagnosed with ADHD, says NHS data. But there is a fear that the number could actually be about 2.5 million. So... it's a little under a third. One in 44 children have the condition on their medical records. There's about one in 125 adults, but campaigners are saying the numbers are far, far greater. Leanne Maskell is author of ADHD and A to Z. She's also director of ADHD Works and is an ADHD coach. And joins me now. Hopefully I can call you Leanne. Good morning to you. How does one know if you've got ADHD? Morning.
Good morning. Well, what our system currently says is that they would have to be diagnosed by a qualified professional. So that would be a psychiatrist usually. And these are the people that can give medication. And you'd have to meet the criteria in the NICE guidelines. So essentially it is a decision made on a holistic presentation of someone's life. And it's very difficult to tell whether someone does or doesn't have it.
What might make people think they have? You're a coach in this area, you've written a book in this area. What do people commonly, how do people commonly present themselves if they think they've got it?
Well, for me personally, when I was diagnosed with ADHD, I didn't know that I had it. I didn't go to that assessment thinking that I had it at all. I just couldn't keep control of my own life. I kept quitting any job that I started. I managed to get a law degree, but had no idea how I had managed to get that because I didn't go to any lectures. And when I got A's in my exams, the teacher asked if I had cheated, and I had just taught myself all of this information very quickly at the end of the year. So,
you got your degree and you didn't even, you know, you didn't attend one lecture. Seriously?
I went to a couple of lectures, but when I went to them, I just literally left feeling like I'd been listening to Chinese for 2 hours.
Right.
And all of the reading, when I tried to sit down and do it, I just would find myself constantly drifting off, realizing that I'd not actually concentrated on what I was reading. I just highlighted pages and ignored it. So I found that way of learning really difficult, but I didn't realize at the time that it's because I had ADHD. I just thought that I was stupid.
Is there a measure of ADHD? Is there a degree of severity so that my listeners can get a sense of where you are on the scale, Leanne?
Yeah, and I'm not the person to really say how severe someone's experience is, because I also think it depends a lot on your life situations. But for me personally, I was about to take my own life when I finally went to a psychiatrist and told them everything. I took a presentation of all the different conditions I was sure I had, which didn't include ADHD. And he said, no, you've got ADHD. And I said, that's not a real problem. I have a real problem. And he was like, yes, you have a real problem. And I said, fine, give me your drugs. He was like, we can't give you drugs. You have to come back and fill in forms. We have to talk to your family. And I went on holiday for 2 weeks and came back a year later. And I said, I believe you.
Hang on, slow down. You went on holiday for 2 weeks and you came back a year later. I had colleagues been like that. How did you fund that year?
I moved in with a stranger that I met on the beach.
Okay, how did that work out? This is a book here, isn't it? And I want the movie right.
Yeah.
Get Spielberg on the line. We've got the next one.
Actually, it's in the last book.
I'm going to tread carefully. How did that go with the stranger you met on the beach?
Very badly, as you can imagine. Random strangers like come up to you and invite you to live with them and do a visa with them are not a good idea. It was really.
What made you say yes? Do you mind if I ask if it was a bloke? It was a bloke, right?
Exactly.
So you're an attractive blonde woman on a beach. A bloke comes up and says, "Would you like to come and move in with me?" And your immediate response was yes.
Well, it didn't happen exactly like that. He came up and said, "Do you want to come surfing?" Had an amazing day together. He said, "Come and live with me. You know, you can stay here." And I was like, "Oh no, I'll get a flat. I'll study." And he said, "No, you can live here." And moved.
Where were you? What country were you in?
Australia.
Oh, okay. All right. Actually, I know well.
So, I had
an unfortunate experience down there. I don't talk about it either, but there we go. Some years ago. Okay, so have you found yourself now as a coach and a director of ADHD Works?
Yeah, so for me, again, I can talk from my personal experience. I think that was quite severe because I'm lucky to be alive. Really lucky to be alive, but...
Crikey.
You know, that not everyone that I talk to is like that. So I think there are definitely degrees of how much it impacts your life, but it doesn't mean that you yourself are disordered.
Knowing what you know now, Leanne, are you glad you got ADHD?
I don't really have a feeling about it. I'm really glad that I got help. And because you said, have I found myself now? Like now I've written 5 books, I've presented to the World Health Organization and Disney. But most amazingly for me, I've managed to live in the same flat for 3 years. And before that, I couldn't stay in a place longer than a year for like
Is that because of emotional issues or financial issues or a bit of both?
All kinds of issues.
Right, okay.
Emotional issues, financial issues, work issues, moving country. So I would say ADHD feels like you're living in a TV show and you have no idea what is going to happen by the end of the day because you can't trust yourself, which can be really difficult. And now that
the relevant government agencies, the NHS, the Department for Work and Pensions, how aware are they of issues of folk who have ADHD, do you think?
I think they're very aware that there are a lot of people that have been missed, like myself, who, you know, is able to get a degree and graduate, but just to actually stay in a job longer than a few weeks. I think they're very aware that people are struggling and need help. But what I think they're not aware of is how to help them. And I think they're going about it a really terrible way by gatekeeping support and making people wait for years and having very outdated...
Going to be a little bit late to news because I'm just thoroughly enjoying this conversation with Leanne. So if you're waiting for the news headlines, probably about a minute or so away, just need to tell you that. Just come to the end of our conversation then. When I put the phone down on you, we're going to listen to some news headlines and then people will start calling me and texting me and emailing saying, oh, we never had this in our day. This is all overdiagnosed. What's this woman on about ADHD? She should just get a job. She's just being lazy. Of course she wanted to travel the world with a blonde surfer in Sydney. How would you respond?
I would ask them why they care so much. I think that's my general response to, you know, I get that stuff every day. Like,
do you? Yeah.
Why do people care? Why does it affect them so much that they would even feel the need to call up and say, of course she's got this, whatever, everyone just wants a label. But my general approach is whatever you want to call it, ADHD, autism, neurodivergence, like why does it affect other people so much if these people are seeking help? And why don't they deserve help if it can help them?
Okay. Have you got a good supportive family, lastly?
Relatively. But... understanding my own neurodivergence has helped me to build those relationships and have them understand me better as well.
And what's first, the book, the movie, the mini-series? What are we going for firstly?
I don't know. I have no idea what I will do next. So, teaching, but I do think that having the right environment around you is proof of
fascinating.
What can be with this.
All right, well, I know what I've got to do next, which is say goodbye because I've got to get some news headlines. Leanne, I've enjoyed our time together. Leanne Maskell wrote ADHD and A to Z and is a coach and director of ADHD Works. You're listening to Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari. By the way, if that affects you, someone you know or love, do give me a call. We're going to talk about it more. We're at 9:33 news headlines then. Thomas Watts.
Children as young as 14 could be selling knives on social media platforms. The warning follows an LBC investigation that found an average of 12 knives are being found in Britain's schools every day. The suspect in the crash at the Premier League trophy parade in Liverpool is due to appear in court this morning. 79 people were injured in the city on Monday. Hamas is expected to reject the White House's latest plan for a ceasefire deal in Gaza. The US says Israel has accepted the proposal, which includes a 60-day pause in fighting and the release of more hostages. LBC weather cloudy with rain for many places this morning, then turning drier and brighter. A high of 25 Celsius.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall.
Dame Emily Thornberry, chair of the Foreign Affairs Select Committee, Labour MP in Islington as well, of course, joins me in the studio. Do you think we're moving on from the Brexit wars?
I think they probably don't care. I mean, I think that on the whole, those who wanted to leave are happy. Those who didn't want to leave are not particularly happy. But everybody's kind of moved on.
Listen on your radio, on Global Player, and the new LBC app.
Do you agree with him that they are using starvation as a weapon of war?
They say that they are not allowing food into Gaza in order to get the hostages back. I have to say, this is not the way to behave. They have to stop. This far-right government is behaving in the most appalling way, and there will be a reckoning.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall. Sunday morning from 10 on LBC.
Badges are earned, not bought. I'm former Harlequins and England rugby captain Chris Robshaw, and I'm here to tell you the JQ7 has arrived.
The JQ7 has everything to prove. It proves the form with standout design and premium comfort, engineered for driving confidence every day. Discover the JQ7 for yourself. Find your closest JQ dealership online. Specification may vary. Range based on WLTP data, dependent on individual driving conditions.
Here at Pets in a Pickle, we know there's already enough to think about when welcoming a new pet into your home.
Do they like it here?
Have I got them enough toys?
What insurance is right for them?
So, to make this adjustment period a little bit easier, we're offering new customers 12 months pet insurance for the price of 11, with code 12 for 11. Hurry, Visit petsinapickle.co.uk now. T's and C's apply.
At Specsavers, we've got hearing devices that can stream music or movies, and ones that are good in crowds, rechargeable battery ones, ones that are good at home, ones that are good in the great outdoors, ones that connect to phones, ones that fit in your ear, ones that fit over your ear, and ones that fit in wherever you happen to be. We've even got ones in our advanced range that use AI to make speech sound clearer. And they're all available at great Specsavers prices. Book a free hearing check today, because OK Hearing is not okay.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Living with ADHD. I nearly said coping, but I checked myself, because if you listen to that young woman and what she's doing with her life now, I wouldn't say that she's in any way coping. She's living with it. And is that perhaps the kind of change in language that we need to see? Anna's in Andover. Andover, Anna. Thank you, Anna, for holding so long. What do you want to tell me? Good morning.
So I called in to share that my brother was diagnosed when he was four. So this was in the mid-90s. My mum knew that she found it really hard compared to me. I'm the older sibling.
How many of you are there? Two?
It's just the two of us.
The two of you, right. How much older than your brother are you, just roughly?
I'm only 2 years older.
Okay. So, what do you recall of his behaviour that perhaps...
So it would always be really busy. He would always be busy. He had to move, keep moving around. He would find things that he could concentrate on for short periods of time and then have to move on to something else. So my mum sought medical support from the GP. He was referred to CAMHS and was diagnosed...
Adolescent mental health services. Yep.
And was diagnosed at four with ADHD. So in the 90s... Very new, not really known a lot about.
What level of support was then provided for your brother?
So he was, actually he got quite a lot of support as a child. He was given medication. This is all very new medication, not really sure what would work the best. Mm-hmm. And he eventually went into primary school. The school shared that they weren't able to meet his needs, so he actually went on to a boarding school. So got a lot of educational support.
And did the state pay for that, or did your parents?
It was funded through what used to be called a statement. Which is all changed now to the NEHCP, is that right?
Emotional health care plan.
So once he lives with ADHD. He got to 18, like all 18-year-olds, sort of said, I don't need that. And
a rebellion, of course. That's what the point of being 18 is all about. Yeah.
And then over a few years, I think he's sort of come to go, yeah, actually, that medication really helped me focus.
Right.
And now I don't have that medication anymore because he disengaged with the adult services.
Right.
So my mum supported him to reapproach the GP to see whether he could restart that medication. Mm-hmm. The GP shared that he has to be referred on to secondary services. So a service that would oversight him. And then they shared that there's a long waiting list and he has to be re-diagnosed again.
What, now you mean?
Yes, yes.
He's going to be 30-something, is he, your brother now?
He'll be 32, and he's still on a waiting list. So he went on in 2021. My mum reapproached in 2023. They shared that there's about a five-year waiting list. So for an adult who's been diagnosed in the 90s, has a long record. We even had, I can remember as a child, because he was one of the first children to be diagnosed, we had someone who was like a researcher. So we had someone who would come and video him to see him in different settings. So we have an adult that lives in... who lives with this condition,
right?
And he can't access. Well, he can access services, but he has a 5 to 6 year waiting list.
So, is your brother able to work?
No, he can probably do short periods, and then he can't. He finds it really hard to sustain any form of employment.
Right. And
I think your previous caller was sharing that she finds lots of things really difficult to focus on. And he's agreed for my mum to support him with his finances. So his his benefits go to my mum, so my mum can make sure, you know, the bills are paid, because if he didn't, he would
Let me read you this. You might have heard in my interview, I said to the young woman, when I put the phone down on you, people are going to ring up and say, why isn't it like this on our day? Let me just read. Jane says, that woman is experiencing the trials and tribulations of life, but of course after our benefits. So there's this sense that people are having a life on benefits that we're funding. What would you say to Jane's comment on the other interview that I had?
I'd say that my brother lives with this condition. If he, like, for example, if he went back on and got his medication, I'm quite certain he would be able to, with support from my family, be able to return back into work.
What was the job he was doing?
It's nothing. Like, he enjoys, like, doing trade work, getting back into, like, learning. But without that,
so he's never done a job as such.
He's done short periods of work, but has found it's that living with ADHD.
I think
if you met with him, he said it's wild. One minute he'll be one place, and then his mind just takes him somewhere. I could make an appointment. I could make a time to see him, like at 1 o'clock, and then I'd ring him 10 minutes before, and he'd be like, "Oh, was I meant to meet you?"
Is he happy?
No, I don't think he's particularly happy.
What makes you say that?
Well, sadly, I think because he hasn't got this medication, he's had to find other ways, and I think we can probably know what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
So, and it's really sad to watch, because, you know, he's been waiting for such a long period of time.
Mm.
And how else do you calm your mind?
And he can't just request the drugs from the doctor?
No, he
has to go through this process.
Yeah, so my mum even reapproached her a couple of weeks ago and said to the GP surgery, if we pay privately, would you then be able to prescribe the medication? And the GP surgery said, we don't share prescriptions from private diagnosis.
But can't you, hang on, that private prescription you could take to the chemist, the pharmacy, sorry, couldn't you?
Because it has to go through the NHS.
Oh, really?
The GP surgery won't re-prescribe it.
And you can't go direct to the pharmacy with the private doctor's prescription?
Well, I think if it is, then it costs a lot of money to obviously continue to see a private clinician every time you need to be reviewed.
Yeah.
You know, a family.
Yeah, I quite hear what you say. Anna, okay, I've got to go because other people want to have their say. Can I give you, send my best wishes to your brother? Thank you for that. Phil says it's an educational healthcare plan. Sorry, did I say emotional, Phil? Thank you for correcting me. Of course it's educational healthcare plan. I probably had issues of emotional health on my mind because of ADHD. Thank you, Phil. Matt says I had to wait 3 years for an initial interview with a psychotherapist. The interview lasted 3 hours. I was told I have to wait another 2 years for a decision, and after that, around another year to wait for a decision on medication. Goodness me. Luke's in Norwich. Luke, your view on this story. Good morning.
Oh, hi there, Nick.
Hello.
So I have ADHD myself.
Okay. When was it diagnosed?
So that was just under 3 years ago, and I'm 31 now.
And how did you know? What was the condition in your life that made you think?
So it was quite serious, actually. So it's kind of why I want to sort of share my story to sort of help people understand how severe it can be and that it is real. That I couldn't handle my own mind, and I was an alcoholic very heavily throughout all of my 20s.
Right.
So it wasn't, and the ADHD diagnosis and medication that came afterwards saved my life, and next week I'll be 2.5 years sober.
Well done.
And thank you. And honestly, my life has completely changed. I'm so happy. I'm capable of doing all these things that I knew I was capable of doing. And the drinking was just because I didn't know what was wrong with my brain and I couldn't work out how to manage it. And
what was the drink doing? Just kind of numbing it all, dulling it all for you, effectively?
Yeah, just winding down at night. That was the main thing. Yeah. It just made me feel normal. And actually, alcohol helped me get things done, weirdly.
Oh, really?
It almost cleared my mind. And I'm led to understand that this is to do with the dopamine that affects ADHD, the lack of dopamine, and that's how I was kind of self-medicating.
Were you able to work through this period or not?
I was. I managed to actually maintain a job in prison education, believe it or not.
Okay.
So I really could have had a lot worse go on in my life. I was very lucky, but it did, you know, it got to the point with my drinking that if I didn't stop when I did, I would be dead. It was serious.
Can I read you a text that's just come in? Anastasia, yeah. ADHD is a lot of nonsense, a Mickey Mouse condition that we're all paying for. What would you say to, sorry, Anastasia, probably. What would you say to Anastasia, Luke?
I understand the struggle to believe it's real, because in the same way that I can't get my head around how someone without ADHD feels. in the sense that it's so difficult to put yourself in the perspective of someone where you're never going to be able to be in their shoes.
But it's
what I learned in prison education as well, was there are so many people in the prison system that clearly have ADHD or some other kind of condition like autism, that actually I truly believe that if they had been given just some extra support when they were younger, they would never have gone down such a terrible path in their lives. And that whether you believe in the condition, you can clearly see the effects when you meet people who've got it.
Lastly, Luke, what's the toughest part of staying sober?
Do you know what? At the moment, it's quite easy. I was recently involved in a motorbike accident. I've got to have limb reconstruction surgery over 2 years.
Oh,
and, yeah, and you wouldn't believe, like, a few years ago, I would not have been able to manage a stressful day at work without a drink.
So that is
the power of being treated to, you know, identifying this with just a little bit of medication.
Look after yourself. Well done. Have a good weekend. I've gone late to the news again, Luke, because I wanted to hear your story. You stay sober as long as you can. It is 9:47, LBC News headlines then. Thomas Watts.
LBC has learned children as young as 14 are being investigated over the sale of knives on social media. A 53-year-old man is due to appear in court over the crash at Liverpool's trophy parade on Monday. And President Trump's trade tariffs are to remain in force for now. LBC weather, cloudy with rain for many this morning, then turning drier and brighter. A high of 25 degrees.
It's still very slow on the M25 in both directions between junctions 15 at the M4 and 16 at the M40, and that's all down to an accident that happened earlier. Also, the delays continue on the M2 westbound to junction 2 at the A228, and that's because of the emergency bridge works. The exit slip road stays closed as well. No Woolwich ferry running. It's been suspended because of the technical problem, and also in East Ham, High Street North remains closed both ways because of a fire that happened yesterday. On the underground, the Hammersmith and City Line can't run between Barking and Liverpool Street. Then there are severe delays on the rest of the line, but the district line's now back up and running, but with severe delays, and also minor delays on the central line between Epping and Leytonstone.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, James O'Brien.
You know that internet meme about the worst person you know doing something that you approve of? Robert Jenrick and fair dodging. What do you reckon?
James O'Brien on LBC.
The legendary George Smiley is back. It's spring 1963, a Russian agent has defected in the most unusual of circumstances, and Smiley will soon find himself entangled in a perilous mystery that will strike at the heart of his greatest enemy. Return to the spy world of John le Carré with the gripping Sunday Times best-selling thriller Carla's Choice by award-winning novelist Nick Harkaway. Out now in paperback.
Call Nick Ferrari now, 0345 6060 973, LBC.
It's your home, darling. Let's make it fabulous. High scoring isn't my forte, but there's no arguing with Trustpilot ratings. Shutterly Fabulous have an expert team of fitters who specialise in one thing, simply gorgeous window shutters. Made to measure, hand-finished, and expertly installed. Make your home Shutterly Fabulous. So, don't dither, darling. Book a free consultation with our expert shutter fitters today.
Calling all young creatives. Kickstart your career in media. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12 at Global Academy. GlobalAcademy.com.
The McSpicy Frank's Red Hot is back. It's the McSpicy, but hotter. With 100% chicken breast fillet, melty cheese, fiery jalapenos, and the irresistible Frank's Red Hot Mayo. Danger, danger. Make it hot. Available until the 17th of June. Serve from 11 a.m. Participating restaurants only. Subject to availability.
Next time you walk their dog or feed their cat, when you pop by for a cuppa or just stop for a chat, tell your friends about Pension Credit. They could be missing out on an average of over £4,000 per year to boost their pension income. Pension credits also unlocks other support, like help with heating costs, council tax, and a free TV licence for people over 75. Tell them to search for pension credit on gov.uk. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
How likely is she to, you know, have another heart attack?
Can I still go to the gym after heart surgery?
Is my mum still my mum if she has a new heart?
When it comes to heart health, no question is too big or small. That's why British Heart Foundation have dedicated cardiac nurses you can speak to by phone, email, or online chat.
Hi, this is Chloe from British Heart Foundation. How can I help?
Search BHF Cardiac Nurses.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
We've touched on something here, this research that says there's around 2.5 million people in this country living with, not coping with, living, I'm so sorry, live in England, I should have said, not the United Kingdom, with ADHD, of whom a little under a third actually have the diagnosis. Claire's in Saffron Walden. Claire, we're talking about your son. Might I ask how old he is? Good morning.
He's 17.
And when did the diagnosis come through?
He was formally diagnosed about 2 months ago, but he was put under the NHS when he was 12 and was sort of partially diagnosed then, but then COVID hit, so it kind of halted things.
Gosh, just at the worst possible time for the young man. What made you think that he might have some form of condition?
So I would say that what ADHD is not having any kind of executive function, so he can't organise anything.
I mean, a lot of people would say every 17-year-old boy is like that, of course.
Yeah, and that's what I thought. So he's a bright boy, but he completely struggles because he can't organise his day, organise his schoolwork, constantly loses things, forgets things all the time. And trying to sort of get through school life without having that capability was a constant struggle, is a constant struggle. So I'm one of those people that would have said ADHD, dreamt up, you know, what really is it? And I thought that progressively all the way through, and I've kind of been proved wrong. And I wish.
In what way have you been proved wrong?
Through the diagnosis that he's now got, and hoping that it would go away, and hoping that he would get better, hoping that he would mature, and it was just adolescence, and it's none of those things, it's got worse. And for me, now seeing the difference that medication has made, and
what's
I didn't
on?
Want... So the main medication for ADHD is a stimulant. So he is on something called Concerta. And basically what the medication does is it stops all of the distractions. It immediately focuses the mind. So it means that they can have that executive function.
How long has he been on it?
He's been on it for 5 weeks now.
What changes have you noticed?
Everything. Absolutely.
Well, expand a bit on that.
Now he doesn't forget anything. He can sit down and do his schoolwork for hours at a time. His mood has gone from being erratic to being calm.
Gosh.
He's just a totally different person, and he's happy.
Must be a transformed house.
It's transformational, and now I blame myself for not having done that early, not having sought medical help.
But that's
that
part of being a parent,
before.
By the way. You blame yourself.
By the way,
you will blame yourself all the time you're a parent. That never ends, so don't worry about that.
I think if I could speak to any other parents out there, I think I was in the camp of there's no way I want him to be medicated with such a strong medication when he, you know, is 13, 14.
Sure.
I just wish I had thought differently then. And for those people that think that it's not a real condition or it's something that you can get benefits for and so it's a bit of a scam, they're so wrong.
What does the future hold for the boy?
So I also just want to make a point about the way that the NHS is dealing with this. So in the end, we got a private consultation with a psychiatrist.
That wouldn't have been cheap.
Explained it to me, which is about £2,000.
Mm. Best money you ever spent, by the sound of things.
It's, you know, I'd pay it again, but it's £2,000. And I think, you know, it's a bit of a racket now in the private health sector. GP will advise you to go privately because they will tell you that the waiting list is about five years long.
Yeah.
And then when you go back to the GP and say, right, we've got this diagnosis, we're now getting him titrated on medication, will you accept shared care after we have him stable on medication? And then the GP says, ah, yes, but no, we're not going to do that because we now don't take on anyone who hasn't been diagnosed by the NHS. And therefore, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And
problem worse.
Yes. Mm. And so now basically GPs are not taking on anyone with ADHD, and therefore they don't have to prescribe anyone with ADHD.
I've got to get to at least one more caller. Lastly, someone listening to this now, if you can, then get the cash and go private, or that won't help you because of the NHS hook. What would your final piece of...
My advice would be, if you want to help your child or your family member, go private. Don't expect the NHS to pay for it. But to any politician out there, this is wrong. You are failing people by not providing care on the NHS.
This is only a problem that's going to get bigger, by the way. They'll probably have to review their position. Claire, well done for what you did. Don't beat yourself up about being a parent, although you will, because that's all one of the joys of being a parent. Of course, it never, ever stops. Claire, thank you. I'm only feeling, please don't think I'm being rude, but so many people want to have the same. I'll get at least one more if I'm quick. Paul in Tamar Valley in Cornwall. So you've been diagnosed. What does it mean to you, Paul? Good morning.
It was an ending to a very long story. Everything fell into place and made sense in my life. I work as a design engineer, product design engineer, and my ADHD has been brilliant because it gives me superpowers and creativity.
Break that down a bit. What sort of superpower? You can think in a different way to say I would when it comes to design.
I can come up with ways of... I can solve challenges through design challenges.
But why does the ADHD help? Why would you not be able to do that? Double negative here. Why would you not be able to do that if you didn't have ADHD?
It helps you hyper-focus, so I can think and think and think and think about a problem.
So can I, can't I? No.
No, you think in your sleep. You think when you're watching the TV, you just never stop.
Right.
Well, maybe you've got it then.
Maybe I do. I mean, actually, one of my colleagues thinks I'm definitely convinced I'm on the spot. Yeah, maybe I have, actually. But not to your level. I can't decide stuff.
No, it's a superpower. It really is. And so I wouldn't be without it.
What do your friends 25 say?
25 years, 30 years working for myself
and
in
what product
are your
design
engineering.
Are you on any form of medication, Paul?
I've just been diagnosed. It took me a year to get the actual interview with the psychiatrist on the National Health. And now I have to wait up to 9 months to receive any drugs.
But you won't worry that by taking medication it will dull some of, I'm using your words, some of your superpowers?
No, it won't. You can take or leave the medication. You don't have to take it all the time. Times when I take the medication, when I want to chill out and relax.
Okay,
and the rest of the time, when I'm working, if I've got work on, then I would probably won't take the medication because I want to. Want to be able to hyper focus, and I've given up alcohol.
All right.
In May, I decided to give up alcohol.
And
it's really made the ADHD go crazy.
I'm going to finish there because I'm already over time. Paul, thank you. Be well. Good luck with the diagnosis. Look, I'm very sorry. There's so many people. I've learned some moves. Every day's a school day. But we will certainly return to this subject as quickly as we can. So many people want to say, hopefully it's helped some folk. I'm done. James O'Brien's the other side of the news here on LBC. I'll be back with you Monday morning from 7. Meantime, have a safe weekend.
Thank you, Nick. This is a bit weird because, as you may know, if you've been listening this week, we've been having this conversation without it being in the news, wondering whether or not undiagnosed ADHD may be a little closer to home than we have previously acknowledged. And then, lo and behold, up it pops in the headlines this morning. So we may well return to that story today. But we're going to begin with that internet meme. I don't know if you've seen it. When the worst person you know does something that you either agree with or approve of. Robert Jenrick, as I suggested to you yesterday, has secured many, many plaudits and much, much praise for his attempts to caution fare dodgers on London Transport. What exactly is going on here, and what do you feel about it?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, children aged just 14 are being investigated over the sale of knives on social media platforms. The warning follows an LBC investigation that found a big increase in the number of blades being found in schools. LBC's crime correspondent Andy Hughes joined police on a raid in northwest London. Officers had been tracking a Snapchat account offering weapons for sale.
Hello, it's the police. Can you come to the door?
So they've just started beginning to search the house. Now these kids are only 14 and 16, the suspects, and they're believed to have sold hundreds of knives across the country. Zombie knives, deadly knives. And we're here so early because it's before the school run. They need to catch them before they go to school.
Snapchat says it removes illegal content and works with law enforcement agencies. You can watch Andy's full special investigation, The Knife Crime Generation, on the LBC app now. Russell Brand has arrived at Southwark Crown Court to enter pleas to sex offence charges. The 49-year-old, who is accused of rape, indecent assault and sexual assault, is expected to enter pleas. The allegations relate to four women. The suspect in the crash at the Premier League trophy parade in Liverpool is due to appear in court. 79 people were injured in the city on Monday evening. LBC's Northwest reporter Liam Gotting is at Liverpool Magistrates Court.
Paul Doyle from the West Derby area of Liverpool has been charged with seven offences, those being one count of dangerous driving, two counts of causing grievous bodily harm with intent, two counts of wounding with intent, and two counts of attempting to cause grievous bodily harm. Now, at yesterday's press conference, which was led by Sarah Hammond, the Chief Crown Prosecutor for the CPS in Merseyside and Cheshire, she said the charges will be kept under review as the investigation progresses.
Hamas is expected to reject the White House's latest plan for a ceasefire deal in Gaza. The US says Israel's accepted the proposal, which includes a 60-day pause in fighting and the release of more hostages. Reform UK has drawn up a cryptocurrency policy, calling for a Bitcoin digital reserve in the Bank of England. The plans were announced by Nigel Farage when he spoke at a major crypto conference in Las Vegas yesterday. The proposals, similar to those put forward by President Trump, would see bodies like HMRC required to accept Bitcoin. In the city, the FTSE 100 a short time ago was trading at 87.71. That's up 55. The pound buys $1.34 and a euro 18. LBC weather, cloudy with rain for many places this morning, but brightening up through the day, a high of 25 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watts.
Got an unexpected message, phone call or email that claims to be from HMRC? Take care. It could be a criminal pretending to be us. To protect yourself, never rush to share personal information or part with your money. Learn to recognise signs of a scam, such as being put under pressure to share bank details. And if something seems fishy, report it to HMRC straight away by searching HMRC Scams on gov.uk. Protect, recognise, report.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
It is 3 minutes after 10 and you are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. I mentioned it to you yesterday and then, as is my wont, I completely forgot to give you any further details. The possibility that honest Bob Jenrick might have actually played a media blinder has, well, it's rather come to pass, hasn't it, given the coverage that he receives today for, well, essentially accosting fare dodgers on London Transport and encouraging them to pay or being filmed, most importantly, of course, remonstrating with them. Previously, I think he was best known for painting over the murals, wasn't he, in the processing centres for unaccompanied child asylum seekers. Absolutely extraordinary moment. But there were so many extraordinary moments during that cycle of politics that one perhaps didn't get, or maybe it did. Did it get the attention that it merited? Imagine that. Imagine sort of sitting up in bed one night and saying, I know what I'll do tomorrow. Those unaccompanied child asylum seekers, so arguably some of the most traumatised children in the world, I think their lives are a bit too easy because they've got some cartoons of Mickey Mouse on the wall in the otherwise incredibly utilitarian building where they are, like, machinery or cattle, where they are processed. That's the only word you can use. So let's paint over those cartoons. Let's paint over those murals. Let's paint over those warm images. That's what I would always think of when I think of Honest Bob. That, of course, and his presiding over the waste of nearly £100 million on a botched plan to house asylum seekers. But what is there a German word for it? When someone who is reprehensible in every way does something that you actually admire or approve of, is there a word for that? Is there a German word? Is it like the opposite of Schadenfreude? You sort of take... it's not pleasure. You take the opposite of pleasure in somebody else's opposite of misfortune. I don't know. There must be a German word for it. Don't send me made-up German words that actually smuggle in profanities that you hope I will accidentally read out on the radio, because I'm wise to your game. I will see through that like a window, like a freshly cleaned window. I don't know if you've seen it. I always, of course, forget that you may have better things to do with your life than watch videos of Robert Jenrick on your social media. I think he stuck this one on the platform formerly known as Twitter. I love the fact that Henry Reilly got on the phone to Transport for London to make sure that he actually had the correct permissions to do the filming and the interactions that he did, and he didn't. We expect permission to be sought for filming of this nature. I hope they throw the book at him. And also, I don't know what kind of party he had with him, but it's highly unlikely he did it on his own with a selfie stick. You have to presume he felt fairly physically secure in... Stop it now. Yeah, the words are already coming in. I'm not going to read out any of them. And because you're so flipping funny, right, with your funny words, full of swear words that you think I'll accidentally read out on the radio, now I'm probably not going to see the one that's actually real. I'm going to miss it. Well, there is actually a German word for when the worst person you know does something that you actually approve of. But I'm not going to know if we've discovered it because you just stop sending me. I can't read them out. Some of them are very funny. But I'm not going to even give you the compliment of saying the names of the people that have made me laugh the most. 7 minutes after 10 is the time. I don't think he'd have been in any physical danger, which automatically distinguishes himself from you or me. If you find yourself on public transport, I suspect this is a mostly London thing, although I was done for fare dodging at Manchester Piccadilly Station. On the grounds that, this is going back to 1988, on the grounds that I had completely forgotten to buy a ticket at Romilly Station, where there were no barriers. And speaking of epic forgetfulness, we probably will get onto that story about undiagnosed ADHD a little later in the programme. That's a bit of a turn-up for the books. In fact, two examples of quite spooky goings-on the programme this week. Can you remember what the other one was? Or last week it was. Just heard in the news there that Nigel Farage is in America at a no doubt extremely lucrative cryptocurrency conference. Do you remember what I said when you asked me why he wasn't in the House of Commons for the debate about the Brexit reset? And why he instead chose to go to Nice and put his trotters up. I literally said to you, and it'll be on tape so I can prove it, I literally said to you, I suspect it will emerge that when Parliament is actually in recess, the time at which all the other MPs choose to go on holiday, he will have a very lucrative opportunity somewhere in the United States of America. And lo and behold, up he pops at a cryptocurrency conference in the United States of America, for which one has to imagine he will be paid handsomely. So never mind the people of Clacton, never mind a parliamentary examination of the reset of the Brexit he claims to care so passionately about, off to America to trouser a tasty check